Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I must still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, grown man, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click yeah, viva, Miami for the weekend, eating, Shima, pull up, valet park car, Bima, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds that glow, ice blinding the shows, heard lights to slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway. Iron the toe, yes, I'm a pro. Press iron the foes. Talking what I walk, talk, never the foe. Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him? In the low bubble, trouble with the low brim. Running no huddle, double the score. Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor. Won't settle with all. Middle finger to loss, parquet. Bread and butter, but I hunger for more. Look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore. Mimosas, what I said, starting my mom. While these other niggas playing, cute playing the show. Beachfront, she can front if she want.
Trust.
Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arranged in court. But no dame,
it's public.
I'm no lame, know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire is fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up, flick, the bitch is always the same.
Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Do it big, Chris Wallace. Any night, take flight, St. Thomas. First class recliner, wine and empanadas. State sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage. Touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba. Chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda. Blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler. Cue Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly. Chilling crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh? They told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion. Thought you was fancy, huh? Yes, you drew like Nancy Dunn. Shed a tip for every lappy run. Real rap, cause on track, he El Capi, son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, lights, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Last weekend, we had a great show. We had Tanya Simmons with the GQ General Question. Then we had My Swagger Is Crazy with his group The Kettle in the building, and we played their smashing single Juicy for Ya. After Swagger, we had The Kettle, and we had, after Swagger and The Kettle, we had Envy from the female organization The Trendsetters, letting us know what's been going on with them and some of the up and coming events that they have going on. After Envy, we had Larry Locke Henderson, who is back with us tonight to finish his interview. To hear the show from last weekend, you could go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We have Slim with the GQ General Question. We have Larry Locke Henderson back, and we will be playing his smashing single, Congresswoman. After Larry Locke Henderson, we have up-and-coming artist Robert Stashes letting us know what's his next step in the music industry, and we will also be playing his smashing single, Philly Anthem. And for our special guest appearance, we have Black Ivory in the building. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, and we'll be right back.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Dreams come true. You're strong, you're smart, you're taking my heart, and I give you the rest of me too. You're the perfect man for me. I love you, I do.
Take this time out to join us this evening.
Thank you.
Now, would you like to tell the listeners a little something about yourself?
Yes. Well, my name is Slim. I'm from the Bronx, and I'm a mother of two, and I'm in a relationship.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, what's your topic for this evening?
Well, my topic is, why is it so hard for men to express themselves to their mates?
For a man to express themselves. Now, what made you choose that specific topic to discuss this evening?
Well, me and my girlfriends hang out, we talk about relationships and how they don't get affection that they need from their mates.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, to speak to Slim, to give your point of view on her topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, me personally, I don't feel it's always the man. You know, lately females been getting kind of, you know, on a, you know, like the real, excuse my French, Ranji side, some females. But not okay. All men can express their feelings.
Why is that?
Well, first, all men can express their feelings because, like I said, some females take it as a sign of weakness. You understand? So
uh-huh.
Some men feel it's not comfortable for them to do that. You got some men that might, you know, be a little emotional. And females will get to the point where they'll be like, oh, well, you know, you're always whining. You're too sensitive. You know, why are you so damn emotional? So when a man don't express their feelings, the female wants them to express their feelings. But when they express their feelings, they call them whiny and everything. Now, go ahead.
I don't see it as whining.
Well, you know, you won out of a million.
Okay. I don't see it as whining.
Yeah, but the majority of females, that's how they see it. So that's that's just my point of view on it. Why some men don't express themselves. And it's like they can't express themselves, but if you think about it, a lot of men might go to talk to somebody in their family if it's a female, like their mother, might talk to their sister. You understand? It ain't that some men ain't expressing themselves in a relationship. It's just that some females take it to another level where it shouldn't be.
Okay. Well, some of us, you know, some of us like to have that affection. You know, it makes us feel like we really want it.
Okay. That's understandable. We have a caller on the line. We're going to bring that caller in real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Slim on the line.
Hey, Slim.
Hello.
I heard the topic, and I don't know. It's kind of hard because I think that it all depends on the type of man that you're dealing with. I mean, usually in the first beginning part of the conversation, you know, when you're getting to know each other, you know right off the bat if he's going to, you know, if he has an emotional or a sensitive side. And I think that sometimes, you know, we do have some women that are, you know, pretty hardcore. You know, they want that, you know, that roughneck. They don't really want the one that's going to cry, you know, with the movie and stuff like that. So I think that depending on the type of relationship that they've had, if they have experienced, you know, something like that, then maybe that's why it's harder for them to, you know, express themselves. You know, but I think that there should be, men should be more comfortable with the person that they're with when they're in a relationship, or whether it's your husband or wife, whatever the case may be. I think that they should be able to express themselves in a different manner, you know, where, okay, we're having, a heated conversation or something. And I think that they should feel comfortable enough, you know, just to vent to their loved ones, you know,
right.
Because they're there. You know, this is your companion. This is someone that you said, yes, I want to be with. So, therefore, I think they should be a little bit more comfortable. But I think sometimes, you know, when you meet the guy, if he's, you know, if he's been hurt or if he's been burnt before, you know, he's not really going to open up. You
right.
know, but I think the guy should, you know, express themselves a little bit more, because I think that's part of the communication between one another. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I understand that.
You know, just, you know, my personal, you know, opinion on it. But I think
right.
that they should, you know, express themselves a little better.
That's the way
You said a man could express themselves a little better?
I said he should. I said when a man and a woman decide they're going to be together, and in the beginning part of their relationship, when they're getting to know each other, the female knows right off the bat if the man is going to express himself, if he has an emotional side or a sensitive side. But depending on the type of man that you're with, if he's been through something before in his life where he's experienced, you know, one of the hardcore females where they don't want them, you know, to express themselves in that kind of way because that female might look at the man as being weak. So I say that I think that men should feel comfortable enough to express themselves in that sensitive and emotional manner with the person that they said they want to be with.
Okay, that's understandable. But like you said, it's hard because some of y'all females are so raunchy. You understand? And regardless, even if a man express himself, he might do it once. You know, y'all might go for it. But I say like a second or third time expressing himself, it's like, you know, he has no wins over the situation.
But what do you mean, no wins?
Yeah, because the fact is that she's going to take it to a level that is not supposed to be, like I said earlier. She's going to see a different side of him. And some females don't like that side of a man being, you know, expressing himself in an emotional way.
Right, but then again, I mean, that goes from the beginning of getting to know the person that you're with. Because when you meet somebody and you get to know that person, you can tell if that person going to be able to express themselves to you and show that emotional side. And when it comes down to dealing with a female, you know right off the bat if you got a hardcore female that don't want a man that's going to be emotional. You can tell that right from the jump. Your approach, her response, or her approach, you know, your response, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. How you feel about that, Slim?
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Just my opinion, you know, on it. I think that when you meet somebody right off the bat, you know if that person is going to be that hardcore female that don't want to, you know, a man that's going to be crying and stuff.
Right. But we, you know, being in a relationship with someone, right, and they just hold back their feelings, that makes you feel a certain way.
Right. I think it's part of communication, though, you know, like if, like, you're in a relationship and you're having a situation, you know, with the man that you're with and, you know, you're looking for some type of response, you're looking for a type of emotion, you know, from him, you want to make sure that that person can, you know, have that conversation with you without him feeling, okay, well, she's going to go into attack mode.
Right. Right. I understand that. Hello?
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 Yes, you there, Slim?
Oh, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, we lost you for a minute. Oh. You know, sometimes that happens.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm mainly trying to figure out is how the fact of what she was saying, you know, goes to the raunchy side. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller on the line. Joseph?
Hello, yes.
You on the line?
How you doing, Rich Money? Slab?
Hello.
The other caller? Well, first of all, Rich, I agree with you. Like, you know, some women are scrungy. But I agree and disagree with the other caller that called in. When the caller made a statement about, you know, you can tell by when you first meet someone if this person is going to be emotional or whatever. The part I disagree about is that in relationship, like when a man meets a woman, vice versa, when you first meet someone, obviously you want to try to get with them because you like them for some reason, for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go out your way to show the best part of you. You may not be that person. You may have a bad side, but, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to take them to the movies. You know, you're going to do nice things. But after the first 6 months to a year, things start to change. So this is why I say I kind of like
definitely
disagree.
Agree with
because
you
never know. You know, when a man wants a woman, he does what he has to do to get that woman. But once you get that woman and you start to get to know her, you might see some things, you know, you have expectation of what she should be. If she doesn't meet your expectation, then you start to change, and then now things just, you know, it takes a bad turn.
Well, I think that goes on both parts.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except for, you know, females got more advantage than a man. That's the thing about it. Because, like they say, a female could go out and see a guy in a club in 2 or 3 seconds, know whether she's going to have sex with him or not.
Oh, really?
You understand? Yeah, yeah. A female all
females are not like that.
Huh?
All females are not like that.
No, no, no. I said no. Yes. All females is like that. Not saying that they would do it, but a female could walk. If a female walks in a club, and she looks at a guy, she could tell within 3 seconds whether she wants to have sex with him or not. If she want to have sex, if you think about it, it's easy for a female to go out and get somebody.
You're right.
You understand? It's not that easy for guys. Some guys it's easier for, but not all of them. But majority of females it is. No matter how they look, they could be fat, black, short, tall, skinny, ugly, cute, muggly. It don't matter for the simple fact of it's a female and what she has. So a man is going to always do that because they always consider a man being a dog. Now, for the male version, it's not as easy.
I agree. It's not as easy. Hello?
I'm listening.
Rich, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm here.
I really agree with you. It's very easy for women, you know. But I think you know, what we're talking about, is everything we speak about, in my opinion, again, it goes both ways. A man can walk in the club also and can tell which, you know, if they're automatically going to have sex. I mean, just like some of them may assume. But if I go in the club and if I see it, I'm looking around, I'm like, nah, this ain't good, nah. So it goes both ways.
No, see, a man could go in there and may want to and may think about it. You understand? But if a female goes in there and she see a guy, and the majority of times, and she be like to herself, all right, I want to have, you know, I'm going to do something with this guy tonight.
Right.
And he's on that dance floor. She just go up, especially if she's attractive, it's going to happen. You understand? Now, with a guy, on the other hand, not the majority of females is not going to go for that. You understand?
Right.
There's some that might go for the one-night stand, but the majority of females will get over on it than guys.
Yeah, you're right. I understand. I'm a man, and I know exactly what you mean. It's so easy. It's like, you know, one of your previous shows, I think it was your Monday show that you have, which is very good. I'm going to give you a shout-out for that, where a caller said that, you know, a woman can just go out in the streets and have a sign, you know, they want some, you know, want some. They can get it automatically. There's no problem. So
exactly.
I guess it goes to say what you're saying right now. It's just really no problem for a female. They know what they want, and, you know, and they can get what they want. Who's going to say no?
Exactly. That's what I say. Females got that between their legs. That's what gives them that power.
No.
You don't even know.
I disagree with you guys. I'm sorry, Slim, but I disagree. I think that if, depending on where you are, your surroundings, the people that you are around, mind you, if a man wants to walk into a club, automatically, some men, their radar is up, like, okay, which one can I get with tonight? Okay, yes, I agree when it comes down to the female knows, okay, within 30 seconds if she's going to, you know, have sex with the guy or not. But I think that depends on the type of female that you're dealing with. If me personally, if I walk into a club, me sleeping with some guys, the last thing on my mind, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my drink, I'm trying to do my two-step, I'm not thinking about no man. Now,
right. I said majority.
But you said that for females.
Just the majority of females.
But that depends on the type of female. Me personally, when I get dressed and I'm clean and I'm fresh and I'm going out with my girls, I'm sorry. That's the last thing that's on my mind. I want to have a drink.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying. Majority, that's the last thing on your mind.
I'm not
thinking
about
it. When you go out to a club, all right, what's the first thing you do?
When I'm in the club or when I'm getting ready to go to the club?
Yeah.
When I'm in the club?
Yes, you go to a club to what? Dance, you know, socialize and everything, right?
I had a hard week. I'm going out with my girls, whatever the case may be. Socialize? No. Mingle with myself. When you have a man at home, you're not going to socialize with the opposite sex. I'm sorry. You're going there to drink, do your two-step. No, you don't want no man all up in your face trying to buy you no drink or nothing.
No,
like that.
No, you can't say that because your girlfriend's,
yes.
All right, so you're saying if you go with your girlfriend.
You for me. I can't tell you for anybody else. I'm telling you for
okay,
me.
Well, okay,
Slim,
but
I agree with Slim.
I
got a man.
That.
I mean, when you go out with your girls, the last thing on your mind is going out and meeting some man or whatever. You want to have a drink. You want to get to your two-step. You want to get to, you know, mingle with your girlfriends. You might not have seen them all week or whatever the case may be. You know, like, you want to do that. You're not thinking about no man or, okay, who can I give it to tonight? You know, who going to buy me a drink? That's not what you're... Now, mind you, some of my girlfriends, they might think in their head, like, you know what? Oh, he's going to buy me a drink. That's on you. You know, but me personally...
Okay, so, and that's what I'm saying. I said the majority... I said the majority of females... You talk about yourself, and when I said the majority of females, okay? You have the majority of females that could, all right, so if you go to a club, let me ask you, and you look at a guy, you're going to tell me you can't look at that guy and be like, all right, I'm going to get with that guy, such and such, boom, boom, boom.
I've never done that.
I didn't say you ever done it. I didn't say you ever done it.
It depends on the female, though.
But I never said you ever done it.
Okay, what was your question you just asked?
I said... When you go out, the majority of females, if they go out to a club, they could indicate whether if they look at a guy, whether they want to do something with him or not.
Within three seconds of time.
I said the majority of females.
Okay.
And that's when I said the majority of females.
But it's males also.
But see, a male don't have as much advantage as a female.
Yeah, you know what? You and Joseph always do that.
What did you say?
I'm gonna include you in this too, Joseph. Okay. Y'all always do that because it's not a matter of the opposite sex having, you know, more on that person, or okay, the female has the asset, she can go in and do this. I think it's the same way. I think it works both ways for male and female.
No, it don't.
That's true.
It don't.
Yes, it does.
Your girlfriends and the man come up to you and right when offer you a drink. What are you gonna do?
Turn him down. Why would I want to take a drink from a guy when I'm in a relationship already and it's a good relationship? To mingle with friends.
And see, when I go out with my girls, even when I was single, I tell the guy the same exact thing. Somebody want to come and buy me a drink? What I say is, I buy my own drink, but thank you anyway. And I keep it moving. Single, relationship, married, whatever, I buy my own drink because you know what? That man will buy you a drink, and then he'll chase you around the damn club the whole night. But he's going to get some. Don't nobody want to be bothered with that.
But see, it's not all men that does that either.
Exactly, Rich. Please tell them.
Not
please,
all
Rich.
Men do that. And like I was saying, a female has a better advantage than a male. Because if you think about it, a female could go down a block and could be butt naked, and she'll find somebody, no matter how she look, to do something with her. Regardless of how he look, can't get that.
Why not?
So okay, let me ask you. If it's a black fat girl, you know, excuse my French or whatever, but and she goes down and it's a bunch of guys. One of those guys is gonna do something with that girl. One of them is definitely gonna do something with that girl. Now, if you got a fat black guy around a bunch of females butt naked, ain't nothing gonna happen.
And out of the crowd, one of them might do something with them too.
Exactly, Sim. Exactly.
Say that again?
You don't know that. She said that
out of the crowd, one of them might do something with him too.
Exactly.
No. Now, you know what?
Yes.
Y'all can't be serious.
No, it works both ways.
No, all right. We have another caller on the line. We're going to bring that caller in because you know what? Y'all about
what?
To be in for it.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello, caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, did you hear
now,
the topic?
Listen,
oh, okay, go ahead.
If you have a female that's going out to the club with their girls, and a guy offered you a drink to pay for it, it's all right for you to take it.
Okay.
You let him know right then and there. It ain't nothing else happened. Now, if he considered that he still want to buy you drinks, that's him.
Yeah, but see, a guy, okay, if he buy you the drink, they're saying every guy walks around once he get the drink, he follows the female around. Not every guy
no,
does.
That's not saying, true. That's
I
not
wasn't
true.
Saying, I wasn't saying every guy. I was saying guys in general. If you want me to break it down, not all of them.
Some of them
break
do,
it down.
Some
it's
of
a
them don't.
Not all of them will. But if you go to a club and you meet some guy, you can tell by that guy's approach. Now, mind you, when you're in a club, you're watching your scenery. Nine times out of ten, you already know what the situation is. Not all guys do, but most of them do.
Yeah.
They want to buy you a drink. They want to dance. They want your phone number. And then some of the guys want to get you all liquored up, and they think they're going to take you home.
No. This is what I'm saying. All guys does not do that. You understand?
I didn't say all guys.
Between both of y'all, you're making it sound like all guys is doing it.
Exactly.
I didn't say all guys.
But you have to be real clear and specific about what you're saying, because the way I'm getting it is the way we're
saying
it. You got the majority
that's doing it. Listen loud and clear. Majority of the men do it. How about that?
But
see, you got to realize. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
No, Rich, you ahead. Because I'm repeating what you said.
Majority of the men,
not majority. There are some guys. They were saying majority. Rich, majority.
That's like majority. As Rich was saying, majority of the females. Majority of the females know when they walk into the club that 30 seconds. They know within 30 seconds they
no,
give the guy.
Not majority of females. All y'all females know this.
Exactly. And that's what you said
that's
earlier.
Low.
All y'all females know. A female, I don't care. She could walk into a club and she could look at a guy and within 3 seconds know whether or not she wants to do something with that guy.
You're right.
That's not
it
saying.
Is true.
Saying,
it's a known fact.
You're saying all females. You're saying all females.
It's a known fact. See, you taking it as, okay, you in particular walk in a club, such and such, boom, boom. But what I'm telling you is, yes, you could, if you walk into a club and you're looking around and you see a guy and you be like, all right, you know what? I think I'm going to get with this dude tonight. Me and him going to get it on. And you go approach him. All right?
I'm not approaching no man either.
I'm not. I'm talking in general. And you go to him. That's what I mean by every female know within 3 seconds whether or not she wants to do something with somebody. See, a guy, on the other hand, he could go and he could look at a female and say to himself, all right, I might try to do something. I think I'm going to see what's up with the person. But in his mind, he probably could think that, all right, well, I'm going to get some. But it's actually up to her whether he's going to get it or not.
Of course. You're
okay,
right.
So that's my point exactly. Which breaks down,
her,
which breaks down to my point. A female knows within 3 seconds whether she's going to do something or not.
Yes, she. Yes, she does.
Exactly.
It's scroungy.
What you say, Joseph?
He's scroungy. Backing up my boy, Rich. He's right.
There you go, Joseph. Oh, please. We're not going to recap on any of the old shows either, Joseph.
Hey,
of some stuff that you were saying up on that. So we're not even going to go there. I'm going to let you
Joe,
win this one.
Right, Joe, it ain't the point of letting Joe.
Yeah.
Nailed in the head. You understand?
No. Once again, the females will overcome the males tonight.
Because
I know that y'all wrong.
And
Chantel, I don't know what
you're
talking about.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. What the hell? If I'm going to the bar with my friends, and if they decide to want to, my dude want to buy me a drink, he gonna buy it.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that for you because you're cool with that. I was just saying, personally, I'm not going to accept the drink. That's just me.
Why?
Exactly.
That's just me because you know what? I don't want nobody buy me no drink unless you my husband, you my man, then you can buy me a drink. Otherwise, I come.
So wait a minute. You're
going to
sit here. You're going to sit here and say, if you go to a club and you
with
your girlfriends, and a guy comes up to you and be like, all right, hey, you know, such and such, you know, I'm not trying to get with you, I'm not trying to talk with you here, but heck, go a drink for you. You know, I just want to get you a drink on friendship basis. That's it. You won't see me no more tonight. Boom. You're not going to take the drink.
No, I am not.
You know what? You need to cut it out. You need to cut it out. You need to cut out.
Listen, you can't speak for every female. Every female is different. I'm letting you know how I am.
So let me ask you.
Let me ask you. What you look like? What you got in your pocket? I'm not doing it.
Okay,
sorry.
Slim. All right.
Yes.
Let's be truthful. Let's be honest now. You know, we just talking. So if a guy was to come up to you and say, listen, you know, I just want to get you this drink. You know, I find you attractive. You know, such and such, blase, blase. No strings attached. Here, I go a drink for you. I'm going about my business. That's it. You won't see me no more tonight. You're not going to take that drink?
Yes, I'll take the drink.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and you have a nice night.
Hello.
But
exactly.
You also have some men that buy a woman a drink, like the sister was saying earlier, that follow you all over the place thinking that he's going to get something from you.
Exactly. You do.
But listen. No. You can tell which ones are like that.
You can tell.
Right? I want to know how you can tell. Which ones is like that? You can. Like you say, a female could go in and look and see, oh, I'm going to sleep with him tonight or I'm going to get this one tonight. It's the same way.
But see, what I'm saying is a female has more advantage in that situation.
You don't understand.
You know what I mean? Some female, a guy walk in, he might could think it, but it might be another female that'd be like, all right, well, I'm going to give him some tonight. But it's going to be her choice. He's not going to be able to go to that specific female and be like, all right, well, I got, you know, such and such, you know, boom, boom, boom. And he's going to get with her. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. You're right. And it could also happen the same way. A female could go to a guy, and that guy might be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the guy, too.
Well, okay, that's true, too. But majority of guys, what guys you know going to say no?
All right, ladies.
Really?
Some good ones.
Here I go back again, right? Here I go back again. Now, ladies. You know, when y'all go out, y'all looking good, smelling good, feeling superior. Now, you think
superior?
That's right.
Superior.
You think a man is really going to come up to you and you look good. I said superior. That's right. You looking real good. Now, ladies, come on. Y'all looking real good, okay? And you think a man's going to be able to come over to you and say, hey, you know, how you doing? I want to buy you a drink, and, you know, I won't see you anymore for the end of, you know,
okay.
At all tonight. Why is that so impossible?
Why is that so impossible?
Smelling good, that man, because you know what? Now, I'm going to think like a man here, okay? Now, if you're looking good and you're smelling good and you see a fine female that looks well put together and you're even going to say, okay, well, I'm going to buy her a drink, you're going to at least want the phone number. You're not just
okay, let me tell you something. No. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to tell you because I used to do it. Because for the simple fact is, this is how it used to go down. Okay, you go to the bar, okay, the club or lounge, whatever, and you get a female a drink. Now, this is how I know because I used to do it. All right? You get the female to drink, you'll be like, here, you know, such and such or whatever the case is, and you don't bother them no more that night because you got to realize, see, that's where a lot of guys don't realize that. Once they see that one guy that's doing all that and he's not being bothered with them about that drink, that's what's going to attract her more to him.
Exactly. That's your pickup
line. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Ding, 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 ding. That's your pickup line. You see? Let me tell you, that's a game right there. Slim, where you at? That's
no, I'm just telling you. I'm making a point to you because, like y'all said, I think. Okay, exactly. Back. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. What you were saying was like a guy. What guy is actually going to do that? You understand?
Right, but you did it. But you had a tactic to yours. Your approach was okay. Well, I'm going to offer to buy her drink. She's not going to see me anymore tonight, right? You're not gonna see me anymore.
But you
tonight.
Made it sound like a
but
no
Jen,
because
Jen,
because you made
mind,
it sound like a man wouldn't
on,
do that.
That's your pickup line. That's your pickup line.
You can't. You want me to tell you why you can't say it's a pickup line? I'm gonna tell you why you can't say it's a pickup line. For the simple fact is, It's not a pick-up line. It could be the thought of appreciation. You could have danced with them about two or three times or whatever and got them a drink and just moved on about your business.
That's it. That is it.
You understand? So it's not even about a pickup line, because to me, it wasn't a pickup line. That's just how I was.
Right, but that's how you was. But you said, I can't say it's a pickup line. But what you just said was, not for nothing, you said that you'll buy her a drink, right? And you'll tell her, you're not going to see me anymore tonight. I'm not going to
no,
buy
no,
her
no, no, no. I didn't say I would tell
you're
her anything.
You're not going to bother her anything.
No, I would get the drink, and they won't see me no more. Or what they might do is see me dancing with somebody. And that's
exactly
what attracts them more. Because for the simple fact of...
To you. But when you go out, not for nothing, I'm not going to approach anybody that I don't see that person is attracted to me. I don't need a drink to make sure that I'm attracted to the person.
When you expect to happen, you're in a club. You see,
I don't need that.
All right, the way you think it,
that
makes
no,
a hard, good man. Up there, who's really out there just to have a good time and go home. See, the good man, when they want to just buy you a drink and all that, automatically I'm thinking we want someone, but they're not like that. We get no slack in the club. Ladies,
pay attention to what he said. Pay attention to what he said. She will be attracted to him, is what she said. That's what he said. She will be attracted to him. He didn't just buy
you know,
a drink like
because,
right?
you know what withdraws the attraction?
Beautiful.
What he said was made is that he's the type of man. You see, women out there is thinking the way you think. They're in the club, the men come to you automatically want something, right? And that's every time they go to the club, that's the type of men that they're used to seeing. So when that one man comes to them, it's buying
exactly. Exactly. Hey, break it down, Joe. Break it down for me, Joe.
That's why I say I do not accept no drink. I buy my own drink. I don't need anybody to buy me no drink.
That's what I'm saying. You're going out to a club with your girlfriends, right?
Right.
Y'all going out to a club, and some dude just comes up and be like, you know, after you're there for a while, let's say you get a dance on, y'all dance or whatever, boom, bang, boom, and he'd be like, I'm just going to get you a drink. You know, I'm getting ready to leave. So I'm going to get you a drink right now before I go. You know, just to show the appreciation of, you know, taking the time out to dance with me. You going to tell me you're not going to take that drink?
No, I'm not.
It could be the fact of him just telling you that because the simple fact he, you know, appreciates, you know, you taking the time out to dance with him. So what's wrong with him getting you the drink?
Okay, and like I said in the beginning part of the show, when I go to the club, I have money in my pocket. I will buy my own drink. I'm looking good. I'm smelling good. And I want to dance and mingle with my friends. I might dance with you, but you don't have to buy me a drink.
This is the home run right here, Rich. Listen, ladies. Let me tell y'all something. When I get in a club, I don't go to club with no money in my pocket because I'm not buying nobody no drinks. For real. And then if I'm talking to a chick, she expecting to get a drink from me, and I'll be like, nah, I'm good. Then I'm the bad person. I'm the bad dude. So, ladies, if you're listening,
okay,
I got no money.
True.
I'm not buying no drinks.
Then you know what? Then you should be careful with the females that you approach in a club. And I don't know not one man that go out to a club with no money in their pocket so they don't have to buy no female no drink.
No. I've been to plenty of clubs, and I can say it. I haven't brought no females no drinks when I went to clubs.
But
that's
what
right.
he said
do
was
it.
He don't bring money in his pocket because he's not buying nobody no drinks. And what I'm saying is, you should always go to the club with something in your pocket, whether it's a bottle of water or something, money for a bottle of water, something for yourself. You don't go out the house with no money at all.
Well, yeah, you're right. No money in my pocket. You spend on.
Well, maybe he's looking for a female to buy him a drink. Maybe, you know, he's trying to look for a female to buy you a drink.
What's wrong with a female buying a guy a drink? What's wrong with a female buying a guy a drink?
There's
I didn't say nothing
wrong. That's not what she said. She didn't say that. She just said maybe he's looking for a female to buy him a drink. She didn't say there was anything wrong with it, though. See?
Did
she say
that?
See, but you know what? Y'all females see the majority of times, and that's another thing. Y'all act like it's a problem with a female buying a guy a drink. This 2011, you know what? Buy me a drink. Buy me a mink. Take me out to eat.
Look, and right now it's 2012. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Because women
exactly.
are making just as much money as men are.
Exactly.
But I don't know about buying nobody no mink or nothing like that. I'm just saying.
You know what? No, no. Let me break this down. Because you've been talking at, like, you know, which, no. Okay. Because
you
can't sit there and say, I don't care. I'm making it a known fact. It ain't one female that could actually say, I don't care who it is. I don't care what they say. That if they go to a club and a man just chooses to buy them a drink just out of, you know, just to get them a drink, and if they leave it, that they're not going to take it. Because you're not going to a club to stand there and just dance. Majority of times you're going to mingle. And if your friends is over there dancing and you go with your friends and a guy comes and just want to get you a drink, just to get you a drink, no strings attached, talk about he don't even want to dance or whatever that case is, in scenario, you're not going to take the drink. Because every single one of y'all females would.
Okay,
not true.
But you can't speak for every single female. Rich money, you are a male. You can't speak for the female.
You know what? I could speak
seen,
because I
what you've seen, but you can't say all females are like that.
I could say all females that go if they in a club. If they go to a club, I could say all females.
That's right.
I could sit there and say all females if they go to a club for the simple fact they end there because. They're going to have a good time. They're going to mingle, socialize, whatever they're going to do. And if they choose to get them a free drink, they're going to take it.
Hey, Rick, can I ask another question on the flip side? What about if you were in the club and the male just want to dance with you? Won't buy him a drink, he just want to dance with you. Is he trying to get something from you, too? If he just want to dance?
That's a good question. You know what? I want you to repeat that question, Joe, because I'm going to bring somebody else on the line, and I want to hear what they have to say.
Okay.
Caller, hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like this is, I'm a woman, I'm going to a club, yeah, it should be vice versa.
Say that again?
If a man buys me a drink, I'm going to buy him a drink.
Oh, shut the fuck.
Okay, so now let me ask you, who are we speaking to?
Kim.
Okay, Kim, let me ask you something. You go out, right?
Yeah.
And you're with your girlfriends, and the guy decides to come over, you know, and just be like, well, here, I just want to buy you a drink. You know, I find you attractive. You understand? No strings attached. I'm not trying to dance with you. I'm not trying to get with you or nothing like that. I just want to get you this drink, and I'm going to be on my merry way. Are you going to take that drink?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. So my point is every female, if a man was a dude, I don't care who they are, if you go into a club, they're going to accept that drink. Because we had a caller on the line that keeps saying they won't accept the drink.
And that's three females out of a million. Come on.
No, it wasn't three. All the rest of them
that
said that they
three.
Would take it.
That's three. That's three females that said they would take the drink. And one, which is myself, that said I would not.
Okay.
You can't speak for all females. I'm sorry. Right. Listen, you can't do that. You can't speak for all females.
Okay, well, okay, Kim, let me ask you this question.
Calling in.
Okay, Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, now the main topic was why men don't show their sensitive side. Am I right, Slim? That was the topic?
I didn't hear
Slim, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. Why do men in a relationship don't express themselves to their mate?
Don't express themselves. Do you feel that way, Kim?
Not all men are like that. Some men do express themselves, but others can't.
Okay.
They were taught by a man not to express themselves. But if they were taught by a woman, they're going to express themselves.
If they what by a woman? Whoa. What, say that again?
Whoa.
Say it again.
No.
If they what by a woman? I didn't hear that part.
If they was raised by a woman, they going to express themselves. They learned it. If they raised by a man, they don't learn how to express themselves.
I disagree with that.
Why?
I disagree with that. Because because you can't say that because a young man is raised by his father, he don't know how to express themselves. You understand? You got plenty of males out here.
I said some of them don't.
Okay. Well, some of them.
Most
I still disagree.
In that
because
don't know how to express themselves.
Well, you know what? I have to disagree because you got to realize there's also society out there that could change a person. When it comes down to that situation, he may not know how to express himself with his father, but in society, you got bad things in society, but you also got people out there that you talk to, which is male guys. Like you see some of the older guys, you know, they talk to the younger guys or whatever that's lived with their father, which they could go by that situation. So it's hard to determine that.
But that's why I said it depends on the type of female that you're with, because you might be with a type of female that don't really want to hear that emotional stuff. But then again, you might be with the female that wants you to be able to communicate with them in that way as well.
But see, let me tell you about y'all females. Okay?
And I'm one that wants a man to communicate if he can, if he can't, and so be it.
So you would be with a man whether he can't communicate with you, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Whether he can or can't.
If they can't express their feelings, they have other ways of doing it.
So you wouldn't mind being with a man that can't express himself to you. Do you actually think that relationship would work?
It might, because he might have other ways of doing it. Other than the way of
other ways.
I think it's going to work.
Expressing yourself is part of communication.
Communication.
Right.
So if you can't express yourself on a communication level, the relationship is not going to work.
Not at all.
And what other ways are there to express yourself in an emotional way? I don't understand. Like, what other way is that? You said there's other ways to do it. What's the other way?
What other ways to express yourself? You could go, all right, a guy, sometimes a guy could express himself by getting flowers and don't have to say nothing.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying in an emotional way. I think the question was in an emotional way. You know, why can't guys express themselves like in that type of way? Flowers, I know, granted, but I'm saying if you can't express yourself in an emotional way, what's the other way?
That's what I'm saying. There is no other way. That's what I'm saying, because somebody on the line just said that they'll be with somebody where they could express themselves or they can't, which I was saying that you can't say that because the relationship won't work, because expressing yourself is part of communication in a relationship.
Right.
We're communicating, verbal and nonverbal.
So if you plan on being with somebody that can't express themselves, then you might as well leave them alone. Now, expressing yourself is not hard at all, if you ask me. You understand? It's just the fact of how the person going to react towards it.
Yeah,
that's the problem with
the man expressing himself to the woman. I mean, they just won't get that feedback, you know, thank you, and you know, that'll be verbally or not verbally. Then that can also break that man down. So you know what? I'm expressing myself to my woman. It's not going to do it again. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it goes both ways.
So, if you're dealing with a guy, let's say females, y'all dealing with a guy, he's hustling and all that, he thugged out, pants sagging, and you know he always talking all rugged to y'all, such a, and y'all like that. But then he come to you, he be like, yo, man, niggas just robbed me, such and such. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
You be all right. Don't worry about it.
Take it off. You'll be just fine.
Yeah,
right,
this
right.
time.
You'll be okay.
Let's say it happened again and he come back. Oh, Shane, I don't know what's going on. These niggas keep coming at me. Yo, man, I'm getting tired of this. You're going to get tired of hearing it. But then, you know why? For the simple fact, y'all let him on that first time to give him that pull. Now, the first time is all right. Second time might be all right. But the third time, when y'all leave the dude on, that means that he's crying now. So now you got him expressing his feelings like y'all want him to, but then you're mad.
That's not true.
No.
Oh, come
true.
On.
I'm sorry.
Say that again?
What?
Say that again?
I said, you better tell her, you better man up.
You know what? You see? Exactly. Okay, my point exactly. So now y'all know why it's so hard for a man to express themselves.
That's just a little too sensitive.
What do you mean? What's too sensitive?
I'm not saying
I was not
expressing
asking yourself to be that sensitive.
Wait. So you saying I just explained about the guy hustling and everything, right?
Uh-huh.
Talking all tough to y'all. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he expressed himself that he got robbed or whatever the case is, you say it's too sensitive now.
Oh no, but you said that he can't come back. That's not.
Huh?
I'm not saying the way you said it. It's like he come crying to you that he lost out on his money. That's a little too sensitive. But if my dude is hustling out there and he gets robbed and he comes to me. Of course, and he's feeling bad. Of course, I appreciate that. I'll mold him, trying to consult
mm-hmm.
him.
The base on that.
Okay. Okay, you'll mold him. That's what
not
you said,
mold
right?
Him, but control him, excuse me.
You, okay. You said you would what? You'll choke him.
Console.
Mm.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Yes.
Control, meaning confront him.
I know. See, but you see, y'all females just got. I think some of y'all females have a lot of issues going on.
Echo.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Would y'all hear the echo?
Yes.
Okay, I don't hear it now.
Oh, okay. Now, who was it that just said that statement?
About what?
About choking a guy or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Choking a guy?
What's being too sensitive to y'all females? What is a guy that's too sensitive? Too emotional?
Well, Slim is saying it's too sensitive. A guy to today, man.
Not too
joking. You know, it happened to me. I got robbed. You know, she had it coming out the eyes. She's saying that's too sensitive.
Exactly. So females, I want to know what is too sensitive. What is a guy that's too sensitive to y'all?
Please, somebody.
Oh, it's kind of quiet now.
You ready to stay on that?
Somebody whining all the damn time.
Okay, you're saying whining. What do you consider whining? If a person expressing themselves, okay, how do you consider that whining if that's what y'all want?
If he, listen. You don't
gotta
come whining all the damn time.
Okay, it's
a like y'all guys be like females be barking in y'all ear all the time. I like that.
Okay, exactly. So you got the females that's barking in the ear, and they want to know why the guys don't express themselves. And which I'm stating, that's why the reason the guys don't express themselves because they don't want to hear the female barking in the ear talking about they too sensitive. But then when they tell them and they express themselves. You understand? It becomes a problem to where the female take it on another level and then she want to start being controlling.
But see, you know what?
That's not true at all.
I think that when you meet somebody up front, firsthand, you can tell the type of person that you just met, the type of person that you're going to be dealing with. Now, if you meet a guy and that guy is constantly crying and stuff like that, then you know whether or not you can deal with that person or not. All that is established in the beginning. You're not going to be with someone 5-6 years and all of a sudden now he starts crying. No, it's not going to be like that. You know, this is all a part of in a relationship, marriage, whatever, learning and growing together, supporting each other, you know. And I think that there's nothing wrong with an emotional man, but I don't really want to even label it as an emotional man. I would just say a man that knows how to express himself and that's comfortable enough to express himself in an emotional manner.
Okay.
All right,
Slim.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Slim?
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Yes. Can you give your final thought on this topic, please? Slim. Hello.
Yes, I'm still here.
Can you give your final thought on the topic?
Oh, just show your sisters the sound, brothers, and that's it. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
He won't be considered soft.
Is there any shout outs you want to give, Slim?
To my boyfriend.
To your boyfriend? All right. I really want to thank you for joining us tonight. Your topic was definitely a hot one.
Thank you.
Definitely appreciate it. All right. Slim Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, we have Rob Stashes. And we will be playing his smashing single, Philly Anthem. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Let it rain.
Welcome to the show.
listening, everybody. It's your boy, Ralph Stashes.
What's going on, Rob? What it do?
Nothing, man. You know, every day grinding, chilling, man. Carving my own lane, you know, staying out of trouble, doing what it
I
do, baby.
You. Yeah, because I know you like a busy man right now. You a hard brother to get in touch with. You're a real busy man, yo. You doing your thing.
Yeah, I try to stay busy, man.
I feel you. That's the only way. As long as you get that grind, that hustle on, and get that paper, you're nothing wrong with that. Right.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you, how long you been into the rap game?
I say about 17 years.
Mm. Now,
yeah, I've been doing the thing, man.
Now, is that something you always been into? Who would you say influenced you into getting into rap music?
Man, just watching different artists, just being on stage from me being a young boy, you know, growing up in that era, like Run DMC, LL, all of them, you know what I'm saying? And watching how they word their words and format it into songs and expressing their feelings, and you know what I'm saying? It's just like, just started hooking up with homies in school, beatboxing and doing little stuff from there, and it just took from there and just came on to it and just started writing.
Mm, oh, okay. Now, your name, you have a unique name, Rob Stashes. Now, how did you come up with that name?
All right, well, everybody know Rob. You know, that's my government, Robert, so you got Rob from that, you know. And Stashes, that just comes from, you know, just being able, I save a lot, you know what I mean, for a rainy day, you never know. So that's where Stash comes from, and then you got his. So I'm not just stashing mine, I'm stashing his too, you know what I mean? So just put it together and just stash his.
Oh, all right. I feel you on that one. I definitely feel you. Now, you said you decided to make the artistic route to successful, to be success, successful, excuse me. Elaborate us on that.
Well, you know, just like I said, listening to other artists, you know what I'm saying, just wanting to be in that field. It wasn't so much of me just wanting to be with the fame. You know, I just wanted to be heard. I had messages in my song, so I felt as though, you know, it's times, you know, I felt as though I could heal the world, rather it was in street form, rather it was conscious form, you know what I mean, or talking to the women. I just feel as though, you know, I got that gift. And anybody that I came across, like even spitting for elderly people, you know what I'm saying? They even give them that the way I don't even curse. Like, people say, yo, you talented, you got the gift. And it's just me just doing music all the time. I wasn't really wanting to pursue it, you know what I'm saying, to got people in your ear and stuff like, yo, you need to do this, and I can get you to this person, that person. So it just took from there, man. And it's like, I know I could crush the game, especially with a lot of stuff I hear out here nowadays, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, every day, I have my time when it comes, you know what I mean? So I'm just grinding, man, and I'm just trying to show the world that I'm very artistic, I'm talented, you know what I'm saying? And I got a lot to give, and y'all see, man, I'm going to be around for a while. So when everybody get used to that name, Rob Stashes, man.
No doubt. Now, like you said, the music that's out now, how do you feel the music that's out now compared to the music that was out in your era? How do you feel about the music that's out now? Because I'm hearing a lot of people talk about the music that's out now.
Well, I'm going to keep it real, man. You know, like everybody say they keep it real, I'm going to just get straight to the point. When I say that, I'm not saying that all music out here that they playing now is bad, but it's bubblegum. You know, it's dumbed down from the true essence of what it really is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's dudes out here that's putting they all into it, busting their brains to write verses to somebody that could just come along and repeat four bars or repeat the same line for eight bars. And all of a sudden you got a hook, a catchy hook, and that's the song. There's really no artist development out here. That's the problem. So you get something catchy, and people are like, oh, I can make money off of that. But it's really, what's the message in it? You know what I'm saying? What is the message that we're getting out of this? Everybody can party. Everybody can, you know, do what they do as far as on the streets and all that. But where's the message at for these kids out here?
Okay, that is a good point, because nowadays nobody's giving messages. It's all about materialistic things. you know, getting the money.
And let me rephrase that. I'm not going to say message because it is a message, even though it's not the type of message that should be given because kids are getting something from the music that they hear today. So it is a message, but it's not a relevant message. You dig?
I understand. Me personally, I don't feel it's a message. I feel it's just a statement that they're trying to state. You understand?
Right,
back in the
right.
days, they was giving messages. You understand? They was
right.
they was writing the songs to give a message. You know, I heard your joints that we're going to play. That's giving a message. You're letting them know something. You understand? Right now, what some of the artists is doing out now, they making a statement. You understand? Like, you know, Lil Wayne came with the pants sagging. Now everybody's wearing the pants sagging. It's like a statement that they're trying to give everybody. And that's what the generation is going for now.
Yeah.
You know? Well, let me ask you. How long do you see yourself making music, doing music?
Oh, man, the only one that can really answer that is the man upstairs. But, you know, as far as for me, verbally, I'm doing it as long as I can. I'll be 60, 70 years old in my rocking chair with a pen and paper. If I could write to that beat that I'm hearing at that time, I'm going to get it out. And if I can record it, I'm recording
it. I feel you. Now, like you said, the music that they making today is not that type of music. So actually tell me, what type of music do you actually listen to?
Let's see. I listen to my boy 50. You know what I'm saying? That's like one of my favorite. You know what I mean? I'm a diehard Redman fan. You know what I'm saying? I go over the West Coast. Like, you know, I'm from that era. You know what I mean? I'm not going to really name a lot of new cast that's out here because I listen to everything, but as far as something to get in my car and ride to, I'm always old school with it because I vibe better. You know what I'm saying? So anything, you know what I mean, from the late 90s, early 2000s, even the middle 2000s, you know, I listen to whatever. But honestly, I listen to myself. That's how I memorize a lot of my songs. I just keen into myself, like, because I just want to be able to be in the car one day and be on that FM station and not really hear myself, and it's not me playing myself, you know, it's somebody else.
Okay, that's
so that's why I love the internet stations, man. You know what I mean? Because they do it all. They rep all and they give unsigned artists and artists that's outsigned a chance to be heard to all type of crowds.
You know, that is true. And a shout out to all the internet stations, you know, because we're doing what we could do. And I think we actually doing better than the ones that's out there now, because we're trying to do our best to give everybody a shot. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, and you're not going to hear
one song we're playing,
we're
trying to play
10 minutes later.
Exactly. 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 Now, do you see yourself more as a rapper or an MC?
I see myself more as an MC. A rapper, you know, a rapper, he just rap. You know what I'm saying? An MC, they put it together. They paint pictures for you. You can tell the difference in an MC. You know what I'm saying? They paint that picture, and they give you something to listen to. A rapper, he could just rap it. That's just what it is. He's just rapping. But what is he really rapping about? An MC will give it to you. That's like an artist. An MC is an artist. He'll give it to you in all type of genes. You know what I'm saying? That's being an MC. Rapper, you know. That's what it is. You know, that's the label, though. That's the rapper. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rapper, but I'm an MC.
Okay.
I'm an MC that raps.
Now, I normally ask this question because I feel the artist should actually, you know, verify, you know, what's their inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist. So, you know, that's what I'm asking. What is your inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist?
Well, my inspirations and my goals, man, as far as, you know, is, first of all, being black, I want to be successful. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just with music, that's just in life, period. So I want to be successful, and my goals is to bring back, you know, and like I said on another station before, like I want to be the one that brings back and show these kids out here and get them to different venues and get them to do things, rather they model, they sing, whatever talent they did, if they play sports, I want to be able to give back. You know what I mean? My music is just my stepping stone to the open gates to more to come. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my, what can I say? That's my hobby. That's my career. that's what I focus on more to get me over those other humps that I know I can get to. You know what I'm saying? So my inspiration, my goals, man, is God, my family, and the kids out here today, man, that lead people to look up to and a positive role model, man. That's what I'm here for, is just to help out and be successful and be known as that. That's what I want my legend to be, known as the person that, you know, I came from Philly. Everybody knows it's a hard place, and made my lane and did what I did and looked out for whoever I could.
Okay. Now, like you said, you know, the music out here is bubblegum. Now, tell us what makes Robert Stash's music different from the music that's out now.
Because, like the conversation y'all was having before, you're not just going to get, when you get Rob Stash's, first of all, when you mention Rob Stash's, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, Rob Stash's, yeah, he be coming with that hardcore. No, I want, when you say Rob Stash's, you're saying, oh, yeah, he be coming with it. Like, he's unpredictable. I could give you that sensitive side. You know what I'm saying? I can give you that sensitive side, talking about poverty, talking about trying to heal the world. There's nothing wrong with that. If I got to cry, I'm going to cry. But it's going to be from the heart. It's not going to be fake.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be sugarcoated. It's going to be coming straight from the heart, and it's going to be for a good cause. If you see me crying, it won't be because I can't get a job done. That's not a man. A man will keep going and going until it gets done. You know what I'm saying? So that's where you might see me crying at, from the frustrations of trying to do positive things and not being able to, because I'm always loving to help people out. So if I can't help out a person, sometimes I feel that person's pain. I might have to cry for the person that can't cry.
I feel you. That's deep. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
so
deep.
When you get Rob Stash's with my music, you liable to get it all, man. You might could party with me. You might could sit back and be like, damn, I was just like that when I was his age, or I was going through that. You know what I'm saying? So I give it all, man. I give it my all, and I give it all.
I feel you. Because you know what? We're going to do that right now, because you know what? I want to talk about your single, Superfly. How did you come up with the title and the concept for that single?
Well, basically, that's just me. That's my whole personality. Like, I like to just stay super fly, you know what I'm saying? And it was just me just letting the females know how I am. Like, you know, just that smooth type. Anything I throw on, rather if I'm just throwing on a regular tee and some sweatpants to walk to the store, I still in some way got to look super fly. I got to have a sharp cut. You know what I'm saying? I might have on some everyday regular gear, but I got to have a sharp cut. Something got to be super fly. If I'm rolling in the hoopie, it's got to have rims. You know what I'm saying? Everything about me got to be clean. Rather I'm in the dirty mode or not, it's still got to be super fly with me.
No doubt. And it's this track right here. That's just what it is. So we're going to get into that right now. All right?
Okay.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. This is one of those smashing singles by Rob Stash's, Superfly. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
It's butter.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Raw Dill Squad. ENT. For them women, come on.
They know I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Stash in the uptown, baby. I'm super high.
Ooh.
I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Yeah. Doors open for you anytime, let's ride.
Ooh.
I'm super fly.
Yeah, you super fly.
Welcome
yeah.
to uptown, baby. I'm super high.
Uptown.
I'm super fly.
Yeah, daddy.
No feeling. Doors open for you anytime, girl, let's ride.
Power might go out, but I still keep my player juice. I'm one of the illest players that ever blessed the suit. Burgundy Tahoe, and I had that green Buick, then copped the red Tahoe, but I had to lose it. Bottom line,
woo!
I stay with a whip, and anything I pop, gon' stay with a kick. That Nina get good,
yeah, daddy.
You can feel it when she licks. It's better than be dead, than filled with cement. Understand what he meant, like I'm talking third party. Throwing through the glass, hanging with Charles Barkley. Got the chickens trying to get the lickings all off me, thinking I'm giving cream out. Who Mr. Softy, baby, you hella fine. Show you a hella time. Whole life is a movie and you can tell it's mine. I ain't got no breaks. yeah, I'm on the grind, but I could take a little breather, let's intertwine.
They know I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Up in the uptown, baby, I'm super high. I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Yeah. Doors open for you anytime, let's ride. I'm super fly.
Yeah, you super fly.
Welcome to uptown, baby, I'm super high. I'm super fly.
Yeah, daddy, you super fly.
Doors open for you anytime, girl, let's ride.
She know I never flash money, my whole style rich. All I do is make moves, your man ain't about shit. Then you wanna intervene, cause I got you up out the outfit. The same negligee you walk around, yeah, the house with. He pay you no mind, I pay you every time. I'm taking you far, somewhere he'll never find. I can get him, well, look girl, never mind. All I came to do though is show you a better time. We celebrate good, baby, this your life. If I go down and send me a few kites, I get under the skin, baby, like a few bites. Back on top and I'm crushing in my new Nikes. Girlie had no clue what I came to do tonight, but I bet you what I'm gonna do, gonna do that body right. Turn off the lights or we can leave them on, put you to sleep, wake you up, then she assuming that I'm gone. She called me super fly after we get that breakfast on. You know I'm just a super fly. Woo! Uptown baby, let's get it.
They know I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Welcome to uptown, baby. I'm super high. I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Yeah.
Doors open for you anytime, let's ride. I'm super fly.
Yeah, you super fly.
Welcome to uptown, baby. I'm super high. I'm super fly.
Yeah, daddy, you super fly.
Doors open for you anytime, girl, let's ride.
I ain't talking his and hers, I'm talking yours. Nice crib, here's the keys through the doors. Persian rugs or marble floors. Don't worry about the price, cause it's always more. Investments now, that means big bills. Looking down on these cousins from the big hills. Family business from the ground up, let's all build. Need the whole entree, no small meals. The other team, baby, I'm a raw deal. Look at me now, deuce deuces, cause I fall chill. They know I'm all ill, that's with no cure. Work all pure, you dig?
They know I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Welcome to uptown, baby. I'm super high. I'm super fly.
What? You super fly?
Yeah.
Doors open for you anytime, let's ride. I'm super fly.
Yeah, daddy, you super fly.
Yo, Rob. Yeah. I like that joint. That joint is serious. All your stuff is serious, right? I ain't gonna lie, that super fly.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Now, let me ask you, how long did it actually take you to do that single?
Honestly, that took about probably a half an hour.
Wow.
My wife was in the room when I did it, and I was like, yo, you should get on this song and say this like this. And, you know, she was a little shy at first, so, you know, she got up on there and she started vibing and she started going in on her own. I ain't had to tell her no more, and I kept it just like that. So, you know, that's one of her favorites.
All right. Well, we have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring that call on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm all right. You on GK College?
This is Chrissy Chris.
Chrissy Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, Chrissy Chris, radio host of Going Critical Radio here in Philadelphia, representing Rob Statues. What's up, Stat?
What's going on, Chrissy Chris? How you?
I'm all right, representing you, as usual. Big shout out to DQ Palette.
Back at you. Back at you.
And, of course, to my team of Going Critical, we are a Critical Mass Entertainment, which is CME. And we represent Stats all the way. You know, he does, like, his thing all over Philly. And we're really proud of him.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely doing it. He's doing it big. He's definitely doing it big.
I'm trying. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm probably maybe almost in the middle. I'm trying to get to the top.
Oh, you're on your way.
Yeah.
You're definitely on your way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to give a big shout out to all the upcoming artists, you know what I mean? We seriously represent all of you. Much love. Stats, keep doing your thing, baby.
You know it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, GQ Palace, for having me.
Same to you, Chris. We're going to keep in contact.
No doubt, no doubt. You know what I mean? Send me that email, you know, so I can play the tracks you want me to feature on my show.
Got you.
All right.
All right. We have another caller on the line for you. We're going to bring that caller on real fast. Hello, caller, okay. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have Rob Stashes on the line?
Rob Stash, how you doing, brother?
What's going on?
Ain't nothing. Well, first of all, man, I enjoy your music, man. It's just gone a long way. But I know you talk about like, other MCs and artists and things like that, so I just want to know, man, out of what are the three, if you had to choose three MCs, dead or alive, what would be your top three? Dead or alive. Greatest MCs of all times, matter of fact. Pardon me.
The greatest MCs of all time?
All time, yeah. Dead or alive.
Well, not Pac first.
All right.
Big L and my homie Rakim.
Rakim the God?
Yes, sir.
That's face. That's definitely face. All right. So you're saying 10 years, I mean, so you're going to be in this rap game, like, to forever, right? Are you going to, like, groom your kid to do this too, to carry on your legacy?
I mean, if that's what they choose to do, but my kids, you know, my daughters, you know, they into modeling and dancing, and my boys, you know, they athletic, they into sports, so, you know, I support them, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
But they try to, you know, write rhyme, my boys, they just hear me, and, you know, they play all my songs all the time, but they sportsmen. I'm the music dude.
I hear you, brother. But good luck with your music, brother. Good luck.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, man, as well.
Fun.
We have another call on the line for you, Rob. We're going to bring that caller in. Hello,
let's
caller,
go.
Are you there?
Yeah, yeah, what up, GQ Palace, man. It's your boy, Rude Doobie, definitely showing love to Rob Stashes, man, you know.
What it do, Rude?
What up, man?
What it do, baby?
I'm, you know, I'm sitting back, relaxing, just listening to you, man. It's a great interview, man. I love this. Whole situation that's going on right now, you know, I had to call in, you know, show some
that's
support.
That's what's up, people. That's my boy Rude right there. Rude, don't get
no
you
doubt.
Know who it is, man. Look him up.
It's all good, you know what I mean? It's all about Rob Stash. It's Rob Stash's season. It's here, man. Definitely go, everybody go pick up that Philly Anthem single on iTunes, Amazon, all over the net, man. For real.
That's right. This thing popping right now.
No doubt. And we ain't even get to all of that's just a little taste.
Yeah.
You know. Now, let me ask you real fast. Now, you made some major moves with other underground artists like Steph Pocket, Deep Six, whom you work with on the soundtrack, starring Mekhi Phifer and Julia Stiles. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that came about through my play sister Steph Pocket, shout out to her. She got a major thing going on over Japan, so she's back and forth over there all the time. Like, she's real major. If you look her up over there, like, she's on the charts with Kanye and Jay-Z and all them over there on the charts. Like, she's wrecking them over there. You know what I mean? Mm. So, and that came about, you know, we just was in the studio grinding, and she submitted some songs, and her lawyer got it to some people, and, you know, it just went from there. And next thing you know, I got a call saying, yeah, we using such and such song on a movie. You don't mind, do you? I'm like, heck no. So, you know, you go look up that soundtrack. It came out years ago, but, you know, that's still on my resume. So you look that soundtrack up, you check the credits, you'll see my name right in there under Steph Pocket song. You know what I mean? Bum, bum, bum. That's the name of it. And, I'm on the credits, so that's something for me.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
No doubt. Everything count, no matter what. Everything count.
Right? That's right.
Now, as you being an up-and-coming artist, what would you say is the most important qualities as an up-and-coming artist?
The most important quality?
Yeah.
As far as yourself-wise or music?
Yeah, as far as being yourself, what is the most important qualities as an up-and-coming artist?
Most important quality is that, you know what I'm saying, make sure your parents is right, you know what I'm saying, and make sure that your music, whatever you're doing with it, make sure it's at least good enough. You know, a lot of people doing it, recording straight out the house and everything. Quality is everything. Just make sure that your music sounds good. You got the proper mix down because everything is on your name. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everything you give out, it has to be quality, rather it's your image, rather it's your music, rather it's your conversation, your interviews, whatever. Everything has to be quality to me. So that's where I'm at with it as far as where my quality stands. Everything must be good, 100%.
I feel you. I definitely feel you. Now, who does your production? Do you have, like, one producer, or do you use random producers for each singles?
I use random producers, but most of them be, like, the same cats that I deal with. You know what I mean? A lot of people hit me up on my Twitter. They reach out to me on Reverb Nation. They send me links for tracks. You know what I'm saying? And basically, anything you hear, I hand pick out. It's not like, you know, somebody sending something like, yo, I hear you on this, because if it's trash, I'm not going to get on it. So basically everything you hear, I handpicked myself because I know what I like and I know what moves me.
Okay. I definitely feel
so, you know what I mean? So I got a lot of, man, I have a lot of tracks people submit that sometimes when I go look in my archives, I'll be like, damn, I forgot such and such sent me this. I'm supposed to get that back to him. But that's what I like, because it was a point I couldn't even get a producer. You know what I mean? So they send me the tracks and I produce myself. So that helps me out to be more developing my artistness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do my own recording. I record myself. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm always in the booth by myself. I'm never really in the booth with 1,000 dudes. It might be me and my two brothers, or just me by myself. I'm from the microphone to the board, from the microphone to the board. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I do. I wait for nobody. I've been through those stages.
I feel you.
I mean, I could put out something every day if I wanted to, just to show people, like, I'm not playing. So I got so many songs just waiting to be released. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I do all my own work, man. You know, so all you artists and producers out there that want to get with me, or we could work, man. I'm open for anything. I don't discriminate. If I can rock with it, we rocking.
No doubt. And that's the attitude, you know, you're supposed to have. You understand? But that's
yeah.
How you really get out there, you know.
That's right. Ain't no ego over here.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about another one of your singles that's hitting the nation hard, Philly Anthem. What's the scenario behind that single?
Philly Anthem. That joint, that's all online worldwide through Def Jam Digital Distribution. I mean, we dropped that April 10th. Got my man Easter the Hardhead on it, you know, free Easter right now. You know, he's up for a little bit right now, you know what I mean? So we're praying for him and everything. It's looking good, so he won't be down long, you know what I mean? Just had to handle what he had to handle. But he's on it, you know what I'm saying? Little cousin from around my way, play cousin. And just basically I was in the crib one day, man, and I heard that track. And I just went in on it, and I just had two verses. I was thinking of doing another verse, and I said, you know what? Easton wanted to do a song, so I let him hear a couple songs. He heard that one, and he just came. He sat right there and came with his verse in like 2 minutes.
Wow.
And was like, let's go in. Yeah. And we went in. Got
go
the
ahead.
Video on YouTube.
Yes. Now, what made you decide to name the title of this single, Philly Anthem? And also, you know, where did y'all film the video at and everything?
We filmed the video, we did it different as far as, you know, when you see videos and you're so used to seeing everybody either standing out on the corner or standing in front of that famous brick wall, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just regular hood shots. I wanted to make it different, and anybody that asks me that does visuals, I tell them I need that VH1, that BET look.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing hood. You know what I'm saying? Everything, like I said, is quality. Everything about me has to be quality. And when I put that video out, you didn't even have to tell people, because they automatically knew, like, yeah, he invested some money in this video. You could tell. And then real people that, you know, that shoot video directors could look at that and be like, yeah, yeah, I know what he was working with there. I know he spent some money on that. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we like to go. If you're going to invest in yourself, you're going to spend money, make sure you just spend it right. If you're going to shoot a $300, $400 video, try to make it the best. Or be
exactly.
creative with it so it just doesn't look like an average video. You know what I'm saying? So we used the warehouse. My man had the little black screen behind it, you know, and just threw some effects on there and just tried to make it a little different from what you see, especially coming out of Philly.
I feel you. I definitely feel you. So you know what? I want you to introduce that next track.
All right. What's up, world? It's your boy, Rob Stashes. We're about to get into my new single, Philly Anthem, featuring my man, East of the Hardhead, worldwide online, iTunes, Amazon, all major online stores through Death Jam Digital Distribution, YCNT Music. Let's go. Raw Dill Squad, we in the building. Rich Money, GQ Palace. Yeah.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
In the kitchen, I'm just cooking up a better win. Knock all you want, man, until they let me in. All this to prove who you think I know I'm better than. Money on the table, pass me a plate and I eat. Sign of the money is the language I speak. Ah. They try and see me, but they can't blame it on the eyesore. Pull his bit, y'all stand like an encore. I ain't got no feelings, man, I kill him like a cyborg. No selling, coke killing, sex get that I'm on. Bark up the wrong tree, pop him with the acorn. Stay strong up top, moving like my blade gone. Headshot, dead stop, rush, dealer shit. Coming from the bottom, so I'm always on that killer ish. I'm just trying to kill it ish. I murder this track, yeah. Now it's time to kill a maneuver with the shooter quick. But y'all don't really listen till you turn pale, blood leaking, body stiffing. He, she sniffing, man. I'm just playing the game and y'all sitting. Oh,
all I do is get more money, show money, count dough money. This your motherfucking ass. Don't let me see you put your hands up. This is how I do it, Philly. And what? This motherfucking ass. All I do is get more money, show money, count dough money. This your motherfucking ass. Then let me see you put your hands up.
I'm good with this right, no, I'm better with this left. No, I get it on the block, cause I'm better as the chef. Yeah. What I'm saying, I do what I does. So practice your craft, you half-ass making a class. Left the one you thought he was whack. Come on, young clown, you talking about bars and rhymes. I'ma give you a round, whole lot. New Buick Luzerne, all black. Hopped out with the two jeans on, a ball bag. I'm like the nice one that couldn't reach me in a rocket. Spit it for the hunger, but they listen for the pain. From the corner where I stand at, shells in a saran wrap. Late night cycle with spoons, you do say that. Pyrex pot in the spot in a new Air Max. That chick you wanna get, but the grind won't let you get at. Hard in the paint, I'm going hard in the street. They ain't banging like Braun, wasn't bitten like me, but just the anthem.
All I do is get more money, show money, count dough money. This your motherfucking ass. Don't let me see you put your hands up. This is how I do it, Philly. And what? All I do is get more money, show money, count dough money. This your motherfucking ass. Don't let me see you put your hands up.
Yo, Ron.
Yeah.
Y'all was going crazy on that track.
Yeah. That's my joint right
y'all
there.
Y'all was definitely going bananas on that joint right there. Now,
yeah, man, I love performing that joint. The crowd goes crazy as soon as they hear it. Even people that ain't never heard it, like, as soon as it come on, they know it's going down.
That joint right there is bananas. Bananas.
Thanks, man.
Now, you also formed a group called Raw Deal Squad. What made you form the group? And who are some of the members in the group?
You got my little bro, Def Da Vinci. You know what I'm saying? He's the vice president. And you got my other little bro, Rome, your favorite rapper. He's the president. You got my DJ, Kaz. You know what I'm saying? You got my man, Phoenix. You know what I mean? P, if you know him. You know what I mean? He's on my mixtape. And, yeah, I got a mixtape out, too. This effing guy, Stasher Brigante.
Yeah,
that's on
that's
that.
That's what I want to get into next, too. That's just what I'm about to get into. That joint
yeah,
right
so,
there.
You know, that's the Raw Deal Squad right there. And my uncle slash partner slash friend, Fred, with a P. You know what I mean? So if you ever meet him or address him, make sure you call him Fred with a P.
Now, your mixtape, This Effing Guy, what kind of music could the listeners expect? And, you know, what made you name it that specific title?
But the title came from me and my brothers just being in the studio, and it's like every time we would do songs together, like squad songs, like every time I went up and I got done, I'd take the headphones off, and my little brother, Def Da Vinci, would be sitting there like, this effing guy. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was just like, you know what? I'm going to call my mixtape that just because, and it stands out, you know what I'm saying? So, and I went with that. That was my first instinct when I heard it. Like, all right, I'm going to call it that. And Stash's Brigante. The Brigante came from Carlito's way. You know, his last name was Brigante, Carlito Brigante. And it was basically him trying, you know, he came out and was just basically trying to just be on the right path and do the right thing. And, you know what I mean, something was always pulling me back, some negativity. So that's where I felt I was at that point when I made the mixtape, you know what I mean, trying to get the buzz out there and get it to the right people. It was like something always was holding me back, you know, might be an incident, might have a flat tire on the car, does it just make your day go wrong or, you know what I'm saying, just anything, you know what I mean? So it was like that's where that came from with it.
Okay. Now, what I want to ask you is you had a lot going on in your life. The biggest fight you had was battling cancer in your teens. And I honor you, you know, having you here doing this interview with me, you know. When you found out you still was, you know, proceeding on with your dream at such a young age, did you really know what was going on when they told you you had cancer and proceeding with your dream?
No, I really didn't. And for the people listening, you should listen very closely. It started out as, one day I just was coughing. You know, I thought I had a regular cold, and I felt my throat, and I had, like, a little lump in my throat. And I, you know, I was young, like 16 years old. I didn't know what that was. You know, told my mom. She took me to the doctor, to my primary doctor, to get a regular checkup. And, you know, they wasn't even sure what it was. So they had sent me to Temple. You know, to the pros to see what was going on. When they ran tests and everything, that's what it came out to be. I had lymphoma, which is a form of cancer. It's called lymphoma, and it was in my neck, in the side of my neck. You know, and it was like I didn't smoke, never smoked cigarettes. And, you know, I wasn't doing nothing wrong at 15. The only thing I was doing is working at McDonald's. And so I figured, you know, from working at McDonald's, I stopped eating McDonald's for a long time because I didn't know what caused it. The doctors didn't know what caused it. They knew I was young, and I had a lot of fight in me. You know what I'm saying? I went through the chemo, the losing the hair and the losing weight and the trach in my neck and not being able to eat, you know, eating just cream of wheat and grits, stuff that keep the weight on you, cans of Ensure. I went through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, my first treatment, I had allergic reaction and blacked out and lost life. And when I woke up, I was in ICU with a trach in my neck, throat cut open, tubes up my nose, my family around the bed crying. And I didn't know what was going on. And I was just out of commission, man, from like 15 years old to about, I say like 17 going on 18, man. And I just prayed, had the positive people around me, went through my treatments, the chemo, and I ain't got to say no more. I'm right here. You're listening to me. Look at the videos. Exactly. You see me. I'm healthy, man. You know what I'm saying? Through God's graces, and I'm going to keep moving, doing what I got to do.
And I definitely honor you on that because, you know, you fought a tough battle, and you're here doing your thing. You know, it wasn't your time, you know? You know, I had
That's
to get
right.
that music
That's how I
on
look
you.
At it.
You know?
That's why I tell people I'm here for a purpose. You know, I'm God's disciple, man. He got me for life.
Exactly.
He got me here. This is my second chance, so I gotta utilize it and do something good with it. And this is my time, and I'm, you know, my career, my hobby is my music, and that's what I'm focusing on. And I'm just keep going down the right path, man, for me and my family, because I need to be here.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you couldn't do music, did you have any, like, a plan B in mind? Just, you know, if you couldn't do the music?
Yeah, I had a plan B. It would just be a regular job. It would just be a regular 9-to-5 or whatever.
I
you know what I'm saying? But I'm not a sitting duck. I never sit around. Closed mouths don't get fed. So, you know, I got a lot of craft with me, man. Like, you know, I like to do contract and work on the side just to keep busy. You know what I'm saying? When I feel as though I've been in the studio too much, I call my brother-in-law. Just, hey, man, what you doing? I need to come on and just, you know, be active. He's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to because, you know, I got what I do, but I choose to because I don't, like I said, I don't like sitting around. I'm good with my hands, man. And from which I heard my story, for me having cancer, like, I like to stay active. I sat around through them years of dealing with that, so I'm not sitting around no more.
I feel you. Now, are you looking for a major label or something, you know, dependent?
Right now, I'm hungry. So I take it as it comes. Long as it sound good, I'll take major, I'll take indie. And like I tell anybody, you know, I want to at least get the chance of being, if I'm a get jerked, at least I can say I went through that phase.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something didn't go right, I went through that phase, I live and I learn. You know what I'm saying? You don't get better by just, you wasn't born perfect. So
mm-hmm.
you got to learn, you got to go take your failures in order to learn what's better for you. You know what I mean? So I would take the major if it sounded right.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the independent because I know I could crush them independent like I'm doing now, and it just get better. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So either way, man, like I said, I don't discriminate, man. I'm from that era where we came from the majors. So I still
mm-hmm.
believe in that. You know what I'm saying? So if somebody come to me with that type of offer, like I said, if it sound good, I will rock with it. I had a problem with that. It would beat any position I'm in right now.
I feel you. Now, I want to get into one more of your bangers. Don't Show No Love. What's
yeah.
the hell behind that joint?
That was my man, Don Mega. Shout out to Don Mega from D-Block. He was one of the first dudes. He reached out to me on Twitter. He heard my stuff on Reverb Nation, and he was like, you know, he wanted to do some work. And I was like, all right, he gave me his number. He's a real stand-up dude. He kept it real with me. You know, he told me about the business and how he started out and how he got his very first big check for doing this and all that. And plus, you know what I mean, I listen to D-Block. I'm a big fan of Jada, Styles, and Sheik. So
mm-hmm.
it was only right, you know what I'm saying? We talk business, we handle business, and he sent me a couple of tracks, and that was like one of the first tracks I was feeling right there, and I was like, bet. Got on that, sent that back to him. And, you know, that's just another cake in the oven waiting to just be put out to serve.
All right, well, we're going to put it out right now.
Let's go.
All right. All right,
Don't Show No Love.
Here's another banger by Rob Stashes. Don't Show No Love. Remember, where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Now you're listening to Mega Music.
Mega, what up?
Yeah.
D-Block, what up? Ride Rob Stash is raw gifts. It's our turn now.
Don't show no love.
Yeah, your fake homies that get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
Yeah, to these women plotting and sinning, only rotten when we win it, yeah.
Don't show no love.
Yeah, your fake homies that get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
I'm
on that love to get you killed quicker, so everything's business. On that $1 million road trip, oh, y'all niggas, let them watch me from a courtroom. They can all witness these streets will get you done when you focus on your riches. So I know I'm always ready. This is guns and the butters. I don't know the word friends, but I kill for my brothers. I steal for my mother, cause she would do the same. I'm a shark to everything, smelling like a food chain. Shopping in the food lane. I'm looking for my next meal, stash, C block. Raw deal, couple goonies and they looking like losers. They be issue if they have you put them diamonds in that mula.
Don't show no love.
Yeah, your fake homies to get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
Yeah, to these women plotting and sinning, only rotten when we win it, yeah.
Don't show no love.
Yeah, your fake homies to get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
To these women plotting and sinning, only rotten when we win it.
Why this biscuit on my hip? Cause y'all don't believe in the fair ones. Jewels on my neck, my nose telling y'all I dare. When I don't let haters get close, I got a nose for that bitch issue. Talking about y'all eating and y'all know y'all never shit it. Niggas get close to you, watch how you operate. Get a little info on you for the fans that cooperate. Put my glasses on, too many snakes, I gotta watch them straight. And they can all die slow, yeah, quick. Cause the minute that I close my eyes, they gon' trip. But where I'm from, we don't slip, I stay on my tip. Still moving around, you swear I got some bricks. Streets still watching, so let me see my options. Execute beat down, Philly to the Hopkins. Talking Bernardo, money in my Fargo. Body after body, you can catch him in the cargo. Boy, don't let me get up on this Marlowe.
Don't show no love.
Your fake homies to get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
Yeah, to these women plotting and sinning, only rotten when we win it, yeah.
Don't show no love.
Yeah, your fake homies to get you killed for anything that you built, feel me?
Don't show no love.
To these women plotting and sinning, only rotten when we win it,
Rob.
Yes, sir.
Yo, you know, I'm definitely going to look into that mixtape.
Yeah.
Ain't no question about it, yo. Cause you definitely got the club bangers, you got the laid-backs, you got the stories, you know. And what's good about it is you showing your versatility on each track, each single.
Yeah.
You're showing your versatility on it, and that's what's the versatile on it. Now, do you have any performances coming up anytime? Any shows? Any events?
Yeah, well, I'm rocking like right now as far as I'm on a city-to-city tour with ExposureNation.com. You know, I done rocked down VA. I went down Virginia Beach like a month ago, rocked down there. Just did a show. They had the tour in Philly, you know, in my hometown, and I did that. That was like 2 weeks ago. Then I opened up for Schoolie D May 5th. I opened up for him, and that was about two Saturdays ago. And like I said, I'm on a city-to-city tour right now, so I'm waiting for the next date. The next city is Pittsburgh, so I'll be in Pittsburgh, and that's a TBA to be announced. So when I get that information, everybody will know. And basically, man, I'm just trying to, you know, get wherever I can fit in. I'm waiting for this big tour, my man Rudo and them, you know, Life Entertainment they putting together with big-time celebrities, you know, that's in the summertime, like a whole year. So, you know, I'm just trying to just keep my practice on, gearing up, man, for anything. So if you know about anything, anybody out there having anything, hit me up, Rob Stashes, that's S-T-A-S-H-I-Z, on Twitter, or Rob Stashes Thomas on Facebook. Just Google my name, take you to my website, robstashes.com. That's new, that's up, and get that popping. You know what I mean? So, and that's where I'm at with it. So I'm trying to be everywhere, man. If I had a clone, he'd be there too.
I feel you. Now, Rude Doobie, because, you know, he's definitely doing it big too. You know, shout out to Rude Doobie. You know what I mean? Now, how did you meet up? Because, you know, Rude Doobie is fan. You know, we met. I mean, you know, be truthful. I don't even know how me and Rude Doobie met. But, you know, however it happened, me and him talking, it just connected from there. You understand? It just hit from there. And the vibe is like a good vibe. And it takes a lot for me to get into a vibe with somebody. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, off the Facebook and all that. And that's what's good about it, because that's how I knew he was doing his thing and how serious he was and, you know, what he's about, because he's definitely about business. How did y'all actually meet up?
Well, actually, it came through the lady that had called, Chrissy Chris. You know, they were, you know, speaking on Facebook and all that, you know, doing business here and there. And she just happened to tell him about me. And, you know, he looked me up and numbers was exchanged. And like you said, you know, I had to Google him. I was trying to find everything I could up on Rudobe just to see if everything was really official, you know, because you like to get good news. But I've been through a lot to where you get good news and then next week is like, nah, that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? And you get to telling people, and now you looking bad because you see the people a month later, like, and they like, well, what happened? I thought you know. So once I found out he was official, man, we just started kicking it, and he told me what he had to offer, what he could do for me, and it sounded good. And I talked with my team, and then we all met up, and it just went from there, man. Like I said, trying to get the people in my hometown was crazy, and it took somebody I don't even live in my city to believe in, you know, what I'm doing and bring that type of offer and deal to me to be able to be on the phone with you right now with this interview and anywhere else I've been within the last 3 months.
Yeah. We'll do, but he know how we do. He know it's never a problem. You know what I mean? It's all love, you know. But, you know, I really want to thank you for joining us, Rob. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
First, I'm going to shout-out God, you know what I mean? Without him, you know, none of this is possible. I'm going to shout-out, you know, the whole Raw Deal Squad team, man. I want to shout-out GQ Palace, man, for having me on here. Rich Money's a good dude. Life Entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Music Incorporated, they doing their thing. In my hometown, Philly, man. Philly Support Philly, and this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it for me, but I'm doing it for y'all. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. Nobody else. Just don't show no love.
No doubt. I'll definitely keep in contact with you, Rob, because there's some things we need to talk about, because, you know, GQ Palace also have the magazine, so we definitely going to put you in that. Ain't no question about that. You know, so we're going to talk.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do what we can to promote you, you know, help promote you with Rude Doobie and Chrissy and all that, you know, because that's all about love and entertainment, you hear?
Yes, sir. Let's do it, man.
No doubt, Rob.
I really appreciate it, man.
No doubt. Rob Stashes, Dons and Divas.
Yes, sir.
Okay, coming up next, our special guest appearance, Black Ivory, is in the building. That's right, you heard me. Black Ivory is in the building. So stay right there and don't move. We're going to be hearing some of their new singles that's out. Matter of fact, that's not even now. I don't think some of y'all heard some of the singles we're about to play right now. All right? But stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Yeah. Forces join forces. Uh-huh. Let's go. I reminisce on what we had, but I can't help but count the ways you've been there for me, and I don't think you know how much you mean to me. Cause I hold you tight, cause it feels so right. Cause for me to you, cause all I wanna do is
see the smile on your face.
And
you know just how much I appreciate.
Thank you.
Say that again, Russell.
I said that's what we are. We're
black and we're precious.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, so he's the main one that started the Black Ivy. Did y'all know each other at a young age when y'all started the group?
Well, I was brought into the group by a good friend of mine, Larry Newkirk, and it was actually his group. He had the group, the Mellow Souls, and him and a gentleman named Vito Ramirez and a gentleman named Michael Harris brought me into the group, and this is in '68. Shortly after I came in, Stewart joined the group, and so it was initially a quintet. There were five of us. Then one at a time, Michael dropped out, Vito Ramirez dropped out, and Larry Newkirk dropped out, leaving just Stewart and I together. And Larry
that
Newkirk...
That never happened, Leroy. That never happened like that. Why do you keep telling that story? Why do you keep telling that story? That it was just me and you in the group by ourselves. That it was never like that before. I thought we talked about this.
I don't mean to recount it incorrectly. Why don't you help me out?
I threatened both of them so they could leave. That's what happened. I threatened Vito and Larry. I told them, get out.
Oh, okay.
Actually, what
somebody
happened
take this.
Actually, what happened is there was five of us, as Leroy said originally. Patrick thought that five people was too much to work with at the time. He didn't think, you know, so Michael Harris ended up leaving the group, which left four of us, and we performed together as a quartet for quite a while. Now, one of our main interests at the time, you know, we were looking at groups like the Delphonics, and another one of the groups that was very, very, very popular with us was the Unifics. And one of the main reasons why the Unifics was so popular with us is because of their choreography. And one of the four remaining members in the group, he was very stiff and wasn't really smooth with his dance routine, things like that. And at the same time, Larry had a brother named Todd who looked up to his big brother starting a group and tried to start a group of his own. He got another guy in his building and... who I ended up meeting, and me and Leroy ended up meeting and finding out was Russell Patterson. And we were at their rehearsal one day, and we were watching them rehearse, and they were rehearsing a Delphonic song. I think it was When You Get Right Down to It. Was that right, Russell? Was it When You Get Right Down to It?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And Russell was smooth. Russell was, you know, I loved the way he sang, loved his look, and loved the way he was able to do choreography. So, like, already the wheels are turning in my head. You know, man, we need him in our group, you know.
Yes.
So what happened is we replaced Vito with Russell Patterson.
Okay.
Now, Larry and Vito were very close, and it was around time for Larry to start going to college anyway. So, you know, since his close friend was no longer in the group and he was going to college, he decided to leave the group as well, which left three of us. And we thought about...
That was after I threatened him.
Yeah, that was after Russell threatened him. So you didn't know about the flex part. He kept that a secret all these years. But you know, at first we started to look for another member. You know, but then Patrick just said, just stay with three. You know, and it ended up working out. Ended up working out really well, as a matter of fact. You know, it just ended up being like the right combination. There's no way to say how it might have proceeded had we had gone with the original formula of Vito, Larry, myself, and Leroy. There's no way to know whether it would have been better or worse. But I know that I'm quite happy with the way things turned out anyway.
Okay. Now.
And that's it. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes, Leroy.
I'm cool. I'm good.
All right. Now, Leroy. Leroy,
yes.
You was the lead voice of the majority of hits y'all had in the early 70s, but you would frequently do some collaborations. Did that bother any other members in the group some kind of way?
Well,
he didn't collaborate until he left them.
That's the part that bothered us. It was the leaving that bothered us. It was the collaboration.
During the time that, you know, after the initial albums, Don't Turn Around and Baby Once You Change Your Mind, when we had the occasion to take more control of our album and production product, we started diversifying and splitting the leads up and tapping more into the group sound, as it were, as opposed to one myself specifically being the sole lead singer, because both Stuart and Russell have amazing and excellent voices, and that was our first chance to exploit that. So we began doing that on the Feel It album and the subsequent album right after that, Black Ivory, where everybody got a chance to really sing the lead. But on the first two projects, initially, the majority of the falsetto vocals was done by me.
Oh, okay. Now, as y'all planned on, because y'all got some new music and y'all got some new music out, how did y'all decide on who was going to do the lead? Did y'all plan on going with the same format for the lead singer?
Stu?
Well, on the newest project, we approached this album more different than we had approached any other album. Because, you know, as the years have gone on, each of us has developed our own production skills and writing styles and vocal styles as well. So when we decided to do this album, we each brought our own material to the project, and we each produced those songs that we brought to the project. So we had, you know, as producers, we had already chosen the lead vocalist on those particular songs. And so that's how that was decided. We didn't sit down and say, well, all right, you take this lead, you take that lead. The songs we brought to the project, we pretty much, they were already produced. You know, they hadn't been mixed and mastered yet. But the direction of the songs had already been chosen by each of the individuals. So that's how we approached that.
One additional thing I would add to that, Stu, is that I created one specific song, the opening tune for the album, called Like Fallen. And that was specifically to present the three of us in the role of lead vocalist at different times in the song, so that you got a sense of, you know, this is what the group sounds like, this is what all three vocalists sound like, this is what they sound like together, this is what they sound like as individuals. Thereby, the opening cut of the track, you know, that gives you a really good sense of, this is the Black Ivory sound now.
But there's also a song that Leroy and I wrote together that we do a co-lead on called He Said, She Said.
Okay. I was trying to get that one, too. Just trying to get that. But let me ask y'all, this is what I want to know. Out of y'all, who's the quiet one of the group? Who's the talkative? Who's the moody? And which one is the brains around the whole group?
What day of the week you talking about?
Well, who wants to answer that? I can give you the general
answer. Well, Stu, give your answer, Stu.
All right, I'll give my answer. Russell's quiet. Leroy's talkative, and I'm moody.
Okay. Russell, what's your
perfect
answer?
That's right.
Right. I think that's pretty accurate. I'm the talkative one. Russell is the quiet one from time to time.
Exactly. Except when you want him to be.
Yeah, except for when he's talking. I'm definitely the talkative one, and Stuart is moody, although we're all pretty talkative too.
Right.
Okay. Now, you have some groups that get a big head when they get successful. How did y'all manage to stay so humble after all this time? Because y'all still well known.
We're broke.
My answer to that, if I may, guys, I'd like to answer that. something that is learned, all right? And to be perfectly honest, it certainly went to my head when I was young, in my younger years. The celebrity, the fame, all of that got to me, and, you know, I was not old enough to, nor did I have the wisdom enough to appreciate the virtues of humility. You know, I got very, very full of myself and you know, just believing all the hype and stuff like that. And over time, you know, as I got older and as I, you know, tried to, you know, instill more wisdom inside myself, I came to appreciate the true value of humility and appreciating that my gifts are a gift from the divine creator, and to have respect and reverence for that. But, you know, when I was a kid, I just, you know, my head wasn't there, so I was all over the place, and so I certainly had my moments of arrogance and conceit and stuff like that. But fortunately, I've learned better.
Okay.
Well, for me, my name is Russell. When the group was at the height of our success, my phone would not stop ringing. And back in those days, there was no cell phone, there was no answer machine, and I was nice, so I gave everybody my number, so my phone rang constantly.
Mm.
Once the record stopped, the phone stopped ringing totally. So that kind of grounded me to realize that, you know, it's a job, and it's something I enjoy doing. And all that stuff that people were telling me before, when the records were doing well, didn't mean anything once the records stopped doing well, or once there were no records at all.
Mm.
So it's all about sharing the gift that we have. That's the way I look at it. Not that I'm better than anybody, or, you know, what I have to offer is better than anything anybody else has to offer. It's just something that I enjoy doing, and I'm able to do and enjoy doing, and people enjoy what we do.
Stu?
Well, this story, you know, when I was younger, I mean, look, you know, I don't want to say hard and fast that when I was younger I was arrogant. As I got older, you know, I'm more humble. You know, there are different times when I still can exhibit arrogance, you know. I think that the arrogance, and I think that to a certain that you need a certain amount of ego, first of all, to have the drive to succeed in this business. In some respects, me personally, I think maybe that I wasn't conceited enough or didn't have enough arrogance about it. Because even though, because of our success and our success at a young age and being in high school when the first record came out and girls, you know, running after us and things like that, even though that did help fuel a certain amount of ego, it was easy to look around and see that there were so many people that were much more talented and much, much more successful than we were at what we were doing, and people that we looked up to. So even though we, you know, we didn't know that we were in a special place, we knew that there was so much more room for us to grow. And then from the early years when we got together, I was always trying to study, you know, meditation and things of a spiritual nature anyway. So I was always trying to ground myself to a certain extent in a certain amount of humility anyway, because when you study those things, you recognize that we're like very small in terms of creation. So it's a delicate balance, you know. You know, you try to be humble because you know that all, like Leroy said earlier, that all of these things that we have are really gifts. And it's a responsibility of ours to do our best to share these gifts with others in a positive and nurturing way, in a way that doesn't lead people into negativity, but it's positive. So it helps you stay a little bit humble. But you do need that arrogance, and you do need the ego to help push you in this business also.
Okay. Now, let's talk about one of y'all singles, you know, that I want to play that's just hitting hard, Like Falling. Tell us a little bit about that single before we play it.
Sort of cool. We got it out. As I said, Like Falling, after we started putting together the album, we began submitting songs. It was a great sound, but there was one thing that I thought that was missing, and that was the one song where all three of us were singing lead over the course of the song. So I specifically tried to create, I created a composition along with my partner, one of my songwriting partners, Pearl Gates, that kind of addressed that and kind of, you know, put us all in our best light as lead vocalists, and then brings us all together in our harmonic sense. So I was really looking to accomplish something that presents all three of us with like falling, and I think that I did so. You know, I think I accomplished that.
Yeah, you did, and we definitely gonna get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's one of their smashing singles, Black Ivory, Like Fallen. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Thank you.
y'all
do.
That's deep. That song is deep. Y'all still got it. Ain't no question about it.
Thank you.
Y'all still doing it.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you.
Y'all definitely still doing it. Now, I had something, but somebody has texted me to ask me, are y'all with a label? Do y'all got a deal going on right now?
Stu?
Well, actually, coming out, this is our seventh album. We released it on November 11th, 2011. And, you know, aside from coming out with our first brand new product in close to 30 years, we also fulfilled a dream that we had from our various earliest days. And we released this album on our own label, SLR Records. So we do have a deal. We have a deal with ourselves. You know, we are looking for we are looking for distribution deals, though. You know, if anybody has anything really lucrative to offer, you know. But yeah, this is the beginning of, you know, we didn't. This isn't the final product. We already have stuff already recorded. It just needs to be finished up. Future product. And this is really just the kickoff for bigger and better things for us, you know, with our own record label.
Okay. Now, y'all have some big names in the music industry sample y'all music also, like Raekwon from Wu-Tang. You had Omarion sample, Don't Try, Don't Turn Around on his remix single, I'm Going to Try. Y'all had Brand Nubian sample, The Introduction, Wishful Thinking. Y'all had Q-Tip just sample one of y'all tracks in 2008, You and I, for his hit single, Getting Up. And that's just a few names, you know. What's the feeling like to know this new generation is using y'all music as of today?
Well, first of all, it's great that the music that and the work that we've done can be appreciated and shared by a generation removed from us. You know, the next generation and perhaps another generation removed, that they appreciated to use it in as part of their art and what they're doing. So that's a huge compliment and a blessing. The second part of it is that I'm glad that the people who listen to these artists and the fans of the artists appreciate it as well. And the last part of it is that it often can result in a pretty decent payday for the, you know, for the resurgence of that song. So we appreciate that as well. But it's pretty cool, man. It's like your music is reaching other people and that's a great thing, you know, that's what you wanted to do.
Right. And this is Stuart. I'd like to add one thing to what Leroy said, particularly referring to Q-Tip Getting Up. His album, The Renaissance, was nominated for Rap Album of the Year that year.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it was, Leroy and I, who wrote You and I, both were, you know, up there, you know, for getting a possible Grammy for participation, you know. We didn't win.
But it was great to be nominated.
It was
really cool.
Forgot who Eminem won that year, so he beat out Q-Tip. We haven't quit though. We're still going to go after that Grammy.
You know, and we look forward to artists who continue to work with us and sample our music, and we hope to that artists may appreciate our new work as well in that way.
I'm pretty sure they will, because like I said, I was getting the texts and everything. Now, let me ask y'all, what's the best advice you can give an up-and-coming group trying to make it in the industry?
Russell.
The best advice is to know that it's not all fun and games. It's definitely a job. It's all about you having your image together, you having your talent together, having your business skills, knowing, you know, making sure that you're involved in every aspect of your craft, because there are people out here who will take advantage of you if you don't know. That's basically it.
Okay.
I would add to that that, as you know, the industry is a new industry. It's very, very different from the industry that that we started in and that used to exist before that. It's a completely different animal with digital music, digital downloads, the absence of commercial record stores and commercial ways to sell. So there's a whole different world. So if you're going to come into it, all right, you have to be tenacious, you have to be serious, you have to be ready to be in it, to win it, and to stay in it, because the competition levels are extremely high and with extremely talented people. So you just have to be very serious. You know, hold on to your dream, believe in it, work on it, and do the best that you can to make your music unique and make it noteworthy so that you can carve a niche in this music business.
Yeah, and this is what I'd like to add a little something to that, too. And I think my advice is probably the same advice that I gave to people 40 years ago when we were being interviewed for a magazine like Right On. And that's, don't get into the business unless you love it and you are absolutely compelled to follow your dream. You know, you have to really, really want to do it, you know. But like Leroy said, there's so much competition. There's so many ways to fall by the wayside and to be discouraged. So don't do it. And not only that, but, you know, because of the long hours in the studio and possible long hours on the road, you sacrifice so much of what people consider their normal life. I remember when we were young, how often we would be away from home on holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, and New Year's and Mother's Day and things like that. The hours that we spent on the road, and this goes back to what Russell said about it not just being all fun and games, about it being hard work too. And in today's industry, it's even worse because the schedule is even more demanding with all the morning shows you have to do, the appearances, the CD signings, the gigs on the road and stuff like that. So don't do it unless you absolutely love it. You have to do it.
Oh, okay. Now, did Black Ivory ever think about doing a collaboration with any MC artist that's out today?
Yeah. We'd love to. I mean,
they think about it all the time. They just ain't thinking about it.
Yeah, I would love, I love some of the great, there's a lot of great and talented artists out there that are doing wonderful things. I love collaborating with people anyway. And I know that, you know, I can kind of speak for the guys in that we would love to do a collaboration with anybody who's out there doing their thing, you know. Well, not anybody, but you know.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'd be happy to slap Pitbull on any one of our songs right now because he's so hot, you know.
I'd love to do a song with Adele.
Oh.
And I'd love to work with Rihanna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Or Alicia Keys.
Please.
I go down to 57th Street.
You never know. Don't be surprised.
You know, but yeah, it's a joy to work with and collaborate with talented people, good people who are good at what they do, and to share in that experience, you know, and whatever you got. So, you know, our interest is always to, you know, interact with as many people as are interested.
And actually, Stuart again, there's already been some talk among myself and Leroy and some artists that are remain unnamed right now. So it'll
okay.
be a little unexpected on collaboration between us and them. More to come.
Stay tuned.
I want to get into another one of y'all singles. I love this single. When I first heard it, I was like, wow, sweep that. I would say that's sweeping the nation. Lucky Tonight. What is the concept behind that single? Who wrote and composed that single?
This is Russell. That would be me and my writing partner, Chris's Bliss. Well, Chris came to me with the track and the title of the song, and it just, you know, just the concept came to me about being in a club and you know, people are dancing, they want to, they're always looking for somebody that they could talk to or go home with, and, you know, you always find that one. You might not talk to that one, but you see that one in the club that you want to talk to. So that was just it. It was like an introduction song. If that song plays in the club, somebody can walk up to somebody and say, you know, am I going to get lucky tonight or what?
All right, so we're going to get into that single right now. All right, Dons and Divas, here's another banger by Black Ivory that's sweeping the nation. Lucky Tonight. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
It's only for the grown and sexy.
Joint right there.
Hey,
Now, who did y'all have?
I got the feeling.
Yeah, that joint. Who did y'all have rapping?
There's a guy here in New York. His name is Stress.
Okay.
He's not
okay.
a known rapper, but, you know, he's one of the neighborhood guys.
Oh, all right. Well, he did his thing also.
Yeah, he
did
a great
his thing
job.
Also. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind before y'all go on the stage?
Well, we pray first.
Yeah, and yeah, then we pray. Check to make sure that we've been paid. Then,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no, quite
yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
The first thing that comes to our mind is we ask the Lord to give us the strength to do a good performance and to give the people pleasure and joy and have fun with it. That's something that we've always done. And, you know, we have amazingly responsive audiences that really have come out to show their support. And it's just great that, you know, the three of us being the original members and so forth and so on, it's a great thrill for many of the fans that come out these days who have been out to some of our earlier shows. And it's just very cool and sharing with them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm a pacer. After the prayer, when we're waiting for them to announce us and to go on stage, you know, I'm like really kind of trying to psych myself up, almost like a, you know, you see a prize fighter, you know, you're trying to get that adrenaline going.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Make sure that I'm up. You know, make sure that I'm up when I get out there. You know. And
yeah.
I try to get it going.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In one word. How would y'all describe Black Ivory?
Well, my answer to that would be one word would not be sufficient. You know, there are, you know, several that I think would serve to describe us. But one word, I couldn't do it.
I could.
Russell could.
Okay.
Family.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right.
Because you would say that's
family's
exactly what
good, y'all. Family's good. Stu, yeah. You got a word?
I do, you know, even though it's sort of like, not redundant, but it's almost like a no-brainer, you know, in some respects, you know. But I think I would use the word creative because we never tried to go for the cheap, hit. You know, you're not to say that we didn't use formula for our songs at all, but we always tried to be a little different in the way we presented our music. We always tried to, you know, we tried to go for the formula. We tried to go for what people would like and what would be a hit. But I think at the core of it, the main thing was the creativity. We wanted to be creative. That's just my view of it.
Okay. Well,
to follow up on what Stu said, it was kind of cool. A few months ago, The Time released a new DVD. Well, they released a CD. Also had a DVD in it. And, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, like one of the, you know, top producers of our generation, and, you know, from then to now, they mentioned us as one of their inspirations.
Okay.
It was so funny, Russell. Okay,
I thought that was amazing.
You know, yeah. I didn't know about that either, Stuart. I didn't know about that either. A friend of mine let me know that on the original 7 DVD we were mentioned. I haven't seen it yet, so I didn't know in what context we were mentioned. But, you know, anybody in the industry, especially any writer and any producer, you know, would have to admire the work of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and the Time. And
right.
So when I heard that our name even came out of their mouth, it was an honor. Matter of fact, years ago when Prince first came out, I went to see Prince at the Roxy, and I was trying to get backstage to see him, but Prince was being inaccessible at the time, so I didn't get a chance to see him. But I was near the stage, and Andre Simone leaned over the stage and came up to me, and he said, "Aren't you with Black Ivory?" And I was shocked, you know, that that they were even aware of us, you know. So,
I heard that, I was shocked too.
Wow.
So, I would just add to that it's just really cool that people, you know, and particularly peers such as, you know, such as Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, appreciate and recognize what we've done and what we've accomplished. And I'm just very, very, we're all just very, very grateful and thankful for that.
Wow. Well, what I want to do, because we're running out of time, I want to get into one more of y'all singles. When at Love. Who wrote and composed that single?
All right, that was written by myself and Richard Barrett Jr. Now, Richard Barrett Jr. is the son of legendary Richie Barrett, who originally sang with the Valentines. He was the force behind groups such as Lil' Anthony and Imperial, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, and the Three Degrees. Now, Richie and I and Russell and Leroy have been friends of our acquaintances for years, and Richie's been writing songs and has always wanted to do something, and we started trying to get some work done a few years back, and he gave me a track of some of his music, and I wrote the song When It Loved to that track. My main approach to that was, you know, it just listening to the track just put me in the mind of Freddie Scott, and Hey Girl was a song from the 60s, very, very, you know, it's the song that dealt with love, that featured male vocalists and focused on the male vocals and the lyrics. And, you know, I was writing about love and family, and that's how that came about.
All right, so we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, one more banger by Black Ivory, Win That Love. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
We would win at love.
Yes, it's true.
It's been new. All our dreams are coming true.
Definitely doing it, and I am running out of time. I need to schedule y'all for a 2-hour show. I'm serious too. I have to schedule y'all for a 2-hour show because it's so much that I want to get into with y'all, and time is so short, and I can't get into it like I want to, and I can't have them cut me off with y'all because I'll be ready to know to explode.
Well, give us a call at any time. You know, we can set up something.
Yeah, but even before then, I want y'all to give. Huh?
Yeah, we really like to talk a little bit about the new CD.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let them know. Let them know about your new CD. Let them know about, you know, how they could contact to get the information on it, buy it. Let them know everything right now.
All right. Well, the new album is by Black Ivory. It's called Continuum. Name that Leroy came up with fits perfectly for the circumstances, and we each have our own individual Facebook pages. We have a Black Ivory Facebook fan page, and there's also Black Ivory group pages, but you can get the CD at our Facebook fan page. There's a little icon that you can click on that says Buy Continuum. It's also available at cdbaby.com. It's available on iTunes. It's available on amazon.com. Mm. And that's those are the main outlets right
now. Oh, okay, now, because I got see, that's what I was talking about. I can't even, but I need to ask y'all one question. Who thought of the concept and the title and everything for the CD?
Well, I came up with Continuum as Stuart had just mentioned, because it seemed like a perfect name for our first project and the project that begins our continuation in the music business and where we are and where we're going. The concept of the album was something that we all did collectively in offering our songs and, you know, just trying to see what stuff we had that fit. As Stuart also mentioned earlier, we all brought our various production expertise and arrangement expertise to bear with this project, and as such, I think it's a great reflection of our talents and their development over the past 30 and 40 years.
And I'd like to add to that the packaging, the graphics and the packaging, primarily the brainchild of Russell Patterson and his partner Chris Bliss. They put together the package, and we're very pleased with how it turned out also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice picture. Go buy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good music, good pictures.
Good music, good package. You'll open it up. You'll like the pictures on the inside. You'll mm-hmm. like the acknowledgments and everything. I think mm-hmm. I think everybody will be really impressed.
On SLR Records.
Okay. And,
Incorporated.
And you gave them the information on how they could get it and everything. Where could they?
Yes, cdbaby.com.
All right.
iTunes, amazon.com.
Okay, I got
to
have y'all back on because there's
Come
so much
Facebook
stuff that I want
to
ask y'all.
Go to our Facebook fan page and hit like.
And if you're truly Dons and Divas, you got the money to go get it.
All right, exactly. Exactly. Is there any shout-outs y'all want to give, fellas?
Well, we want to thank you, first of all, for inviting us and, you know, allowing us to share our music with your, you know, listening public and stuff.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to our fans, both old and new, because there's no way that we could do this or you know, without them. There's no way that, you know, it's so interesting nowadays with YouTube and with Facebook to see how much interest there is all over the country, as a matter of fact, all over the world in the group. Our piano player, former piano player Greg McCrae, recently made a comment that he thinks we're more popular now than we were in the old days.
Mm.
I don't know if that's true or not, but we can certainly see through people's comments how much they've appreciated our music and how much they enjoy watching us perform live and listening to the song and how much they look forward to hearing more. And so I would really like to give a shout out and our gratitude to all of our fans.
And for myself, I would just like to thank everybody and everything. Mostly I want to thank the Lord for blessing me with my talent, for blessing me with two my dear friends and my brothers, with whom I've had the joy of working these last 40 plus years, blessing me with every DJ and every interested party, every listener around the world, every kind voice, every kind ear. I'm just really grateful for the opportunity of sharing something that is within me and within us with the rest of the world and having it appreciated.
Fellas, it's really an honor having y'all on, and I really want to thank y'all again for joining us tonight.
Thank you
for having us.
All right.
Thank you, my brother. All right. Leroy, Russell and Stu, Black Ivory, Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank Slim with her GQ General Question. I want to thank Rob Stashes. Don't forget to check him out. He's doing big things. And I also want to thank our special guest appearance, Black Ivory. Don't forget to check them out. Go get that new CD because it's banging. I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I have to also give a belated Mother's Day shout out to all the mothers because we got cut short last week. I do apologize. I'm your host, Rich Money. Have a safe and blessed weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next weekend, and we will have another special guest appearance. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Yo, shorty something special, you already know that. Nice round hips, plus she got a throwback. I just wanna let her get acquainted with my bold back. After that, anything she wants, she can hold that. I'ma get it in, but I'ma get it out quick. $1 million whips, $100,000 outfit. Tell me really, what would the game be without Kiss? Or some G shit, it's the remix.
Just
come on.
Fresh out the shower, gotta stay fresh, take about an hour, gotta get dressed, your boy's so clean, both of them on, I got them blue chains, fresh pair of shades, socks on my wrist, sock to the drawers, your boy stay fit, I'm ready, can nobody tell me nothing.
Like I'm so high,
so high.
For a shot, you
higher than the Concorde jet. Non-violent, but the pilot know them choppers on deck. Later on, we can retire to an island of your choice. My swag and my voice making them moist. And I've been running around a mine all day, it's time to rest. I haters may know what dressed them best. When you're back, you wanna hand me, cause I'm taste the choice. It's the East Coast remix, stunting on them people. We get it in the boy Slim, me Kiss. And now rocking with them rock boys, D-boys. Matter of fact, about to take you back. Peep this, my drop tops in the parking lot. And I wanna get you back to the spot. Time to roll with the front line of the rock. Danny Jackson with this rapping, cause I'm back in control. Let's go.
Feels like I'm taking off, I'm so high. Looking for a shawty to break me off.